not participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
It's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
And we all know what that means.
Beth Ann, what is it that Jonathan said to you that you didn't want to repeat?
He asked me if I was gay.
Not that there's
anything wrong with that.
Anything wrong with that unless you're a heterosexual woman looking for love.
Right. Did he mean happy?
No, he meant homosexual.
Well, that changes it.
I believe it was a defense mechanism on sales guy Jonathan's part.
Jonathan's equivalent of throwing the rock in the schoolyard.
Yes, that's right. I'm guessing that you have put a stop to his advances.
Yes, the sentence would have been finished. Are you gay? Then how come you haven't jumped me by now?
That's right. So the only reason that you've not accepted whatever lurid advances he's made to you must only be recognized as a sheer logic that you must be gay.
Right, and that's why I want to meet his lovely girlfriend, Eileen.
Have you accepted Jonathan's advances?
No.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
He hasn't really had any advances. I mean, we're just friends.
Oh, yes. He wants you.
Oh, come on.
He wants you so badly.
Now, Beth Ann, why else would he bring up your sexuality?
I have no idea, because he's like that. And then he kept saying, Are you sure? Yes! If I were gay, I would tell you I was gay.
Is there any part of you that has any attraction to the amazing Jonathan?
No, not one little bit.
Well, somebody better get that dude on the phone, because I'd like to know why he's walking around talking to our Beth Ann McBride, asking her that.
Yeah. I'd like to know if he's gay.
Are you attracted to the Andy Rice stunt double?
Also, I found out named Andy.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Isn't that eerie?
Yeah. The new guy who looks like Andy Rice.
Scared kids.
That's right, yeah.
That's scary.
Scared kids, yeah. Remember Andy Rice? Everybody listening, remember the name Andy Rice. He's the guy that left here and quit and went to work at Blockbuster, I think, three, maybe four.
It wasn't always Blockbuster, but he has returned three times.
Yes. Blockbuster, Carvel.
Guy keeps leaving, coming back, leaving and coming back.
Although with Miss Bobby not here, maybe there's no reason for him to come back.
Well, let me just say...
We are inside
Rob,
now.
Yeah. Now, Rob, you're talking about...
TMI.
Let me just say this to both Andy and Miss Bobby.
Yes?
We'll keep the secret, my love. We keep the secret.
Yeah.
Hurry back, my sweet.
This is out in the open, though. The fact that Beth Ann McBride is being talked to by sales guy Jonathan, who obviously is interested in Beth Ann.
Beth Ann, do you fancy that as harassment?
No.
Come on. Has he ever made any kind of reference to the fact that he might want to take you to the bed?
No, the only thing that he's ever said was sort of like, Jonathan...
Is he there?
Huh?
No, she's giving you an example of outrage.
Because we were out to lunch, and he asked our server, do you think she's too old for me?
Well,
of course, he's obvious.
And here's the thing.
Men are not subtle.
Here's the thing that you folks on the other side there have to know. This guy Jonathan we're talking about, I'm not saying, listen, he is no Brad Pitt, okay?
But he's a bright lad.
Okay, but I'm just saying, he sure does seem to have a lot of confidence for a guy who, with my now perfect vision, thanks to Dr. Whitten, seems to me that he's not exactly a chick magnet himself.
No, he's a screech.
He could play the part of nerdy friend in just about any high school production.
But, you know, that doesn't mean he can't be confident like a young James Carville.
He does ooze confidence, but he does.
But you know what that is?
Especially as opposed to the old James Carville.
Who also oozes confidence.
You know what that is, though, in guys, though? Right. In really doofy-looking guys or nerdy-looking guys, it's stupidity. It's just... It's basic.
Foolish bravado. False bravado. Uh-huh. I was just going to say that.
It's just basic male stupidity. That, like, the guy doesn't look in the same mirror? Or what?
It's a simple, unbridled, unsustainable, unsatisfied urge.
Yeah. He's a predator. I've told you that before.
That's right.
Jonathan, JTP, Jonathan the Predator.
Do you guys communicate via email, via the internet?
No.
Here's what we need Here's what we need to find out is perhaps he was asking on behalf of someone else.
Well, who would that be here? I would be the Andy Rice stunt double.
When we were eating, there was a mirror right beside him.
Yeah?
And he kept looking over at himself. Are you sure you're not gay? Yes, Jonathan, if I were gay, I'd tell you.
Are there any other males that have shown anything more than the passing business interest in you? Or females?
Jonathan won't let them near me.
Jonathan, I'm telling you, it's all about this guy, Jonathan.
Uh-huh. And Jonathan allegedly has a girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I really, yes.
Yeah, but no one's met her.
No one's actually.
No, she's always out of the country.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, okay. He's lying about the girlfriend.
Right. He's spooky like that.
You know, we had Jonathan in here one time, but we never really put Jonathan through the Inquisition.
We got to start the show. See if someone can find him, though.
Okay. This is my girlfriend, Philip.
Thank you, Bethany.
Bring him to us.
Bye-bye.
By the amazing Jonathan.
Brian, welcome to a pre-show call. Brian.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
Don, you called the game last night.
Mike, I'm glad someone called.
You nailed that sucker.
No. Called the score of the game last night.
Did you call the score?
Called it.
I mean, Red Sox 4-1. I my new name for you is Nostradonis.
Nostradami has been used before. And I give you the prediction right now. Are you ready, Mike?
I got that tight chest again. I got that.
Sure.
I really do. I seriously. I've been on the verge, and I'm being totally serious.
Diverging
of like passing out. I've been so nervous about this.
Don't dial 911 tonight in a slugfest. Boston 12, St. Louis 2.
Really?
Wow.
Yep. You heard it here.
Wow.
You heard it here.
I don't know what to do. We talked about the curse before. I don't know what to do. I really don't know how to behave. I'm numb.
Wait for my phone call tonight.
You need Jonathan confidence.
Just wait, my sweet.
Jonathan.
Before we start the show.
Yes?
A little of this, please.
Fabulous new video from the Plastics, and a special thanks to Tim Ishimuni, our Japanese friend, for the remarkable scoop on that Japanese technology, which I imagine will be coming our way in the near future. I hope the import tax doesn't make it too costly for Mr. and Mrs. Average to afford. Think of the fun to be had with a microcam. You know, whatever the product, let's face it, the Japanese have always had that little extra something special. But it's important to make sure, as Americans, that our priorities are with domestically produced products.
Jerry Todd.
Because let's face it, there's a different kind of war going on today.
Jerry Todd.
You know, it's an important thing to consider.
If Americans really believe in free enterprise system, you can buy any product, no matter where it was made.
A little leak in our transmission module. I assure our sponsors will say, so long for good to our little Japanese friend.
Jerry Todd, Mayday.
Say hello to superior technology. You can't stop it.
Jerry Todd here. Mayday, Mayday, I am under video attack.
So that's Jerry Todd, who, of course, is portrayed by Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Now, we've tried to get this gentleman on the show.
Right.
As Rick Moranis playing Jerry Todd.
Right.
Rob has gone all the way to the actual agent.
The William Morris Agency.
For Rick Moranis. And he's been told that Rick doesn't do anything. Ain't it nice?
So is Rick like totally retired?
So what the guy said is Rob should write a letter and then the agent will pass the letter on to Mr. Moranis, and then at that point, he will say no.
Right.
But please be listening to the amount of ass-kissing that Rob put into this letter to the William Morris Agency today.
Nobody can do it better.
Here we go.
Sir, please consider this as a formal request to have Rick Moranis do a phone interview for our nationally syndicated radio program, The Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show is top-rated and based in Washington, D.C. It's on weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern Time and in 45 cities across America. Paragraph. We are all huge fans of Rick's body of work, but most of all, we are addicted to the character of legendary video jock Jerry Todd. With the recent releases of the two SCTV box sets on DVD, everyone on The Don and Mike Show has been using Jerry's catchphrases, parenthesis, how are you anyway? close parenthesis, and trying to do our own best imitations. Lately, large portions of the Don and Mike show have been devoted to Jerry, and even our listeners have been getting in on the fun. Which brings me to my point.
Jerry time.
Paragraph. What we would all love, all caps, is if Rick would do a brief phone interview on our airwaves as Jerry Todd.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
It would be a great way to promote the SCTV box sets and anything else that Rick or Jerry would like to publicize. Most of all, it would be a thrill for Don and Mike to chat with a character they've been huge fans of since his debut in 1981.
Debut.
As a matter of fact, we were discussing Jerry Todd on the show just this week. It was fun revealing to our listeners that Jerry Todd was spinning the video hits way before there was an MTV. So in reality, Rick invented the job of VJ. We're also aware that Rick has spent his share of time as a radio disc jockey, which is so apparent when we watch the character of Jerry Todd. Anyone who can do such a spot-on parody of a classic AM jockey would have had to spend some time with them. We thought Rick might enjoy coming on the air with us and doing the DJ thing. If Rick doesn't want to do the show in character, we'd of course still be delighted to have him on. We would be tickled to roll out our radio red carpet for Rick in any way that he'd like. Just let us know. I eagerly await your reply. You can either reply to this email or call me directly on my cell phone.
Okay.
Thanks very much in advance for your consideration, and I genuinely hope we can make this happen. Best wishes, Rob Spiewak, The Don and Mike Show.
Don't think me unkind.
It's the kind of letter that would make me run away.
Words are...
I like to call the FBI.
That's right.
Yeah, really. I think I got a stalker out there.
Find out what his social security number is.
Oh, you know, I was just looking at my notes from yesterday's show.
Yes.
I said it'd be 4-3, not 4-1.
Ah.
A prediction.
Still.
So I wasn't as stone cold as I thought.
Well, a win is a win is a win.
Yeah,
that's right.
Da-da-da-da. Sorry about that, everybody.
Should
have remembered that.
You.
I can still brag, though. Called the game for you. Da-da-da. And I guess that means tonight the score would be more like 6-2. Da-da-da-da. Hello, who's calling on the inside line?
Good afternoon, gentleperson.
Is this the amazing Jonathan?
This is.
Oh, I thought it was Rick Moranis.
Jonathan? Oh, God. Hold on. We have to start the show, but then we'd like to chat with you.
Okay.
All right, hold. Hold, please.
There's creepy Jonathan.
Hold for Jonathan. Mike?
Can he
hey,
be
now, Jonathan.
Don and Mike show.
Let's get started.
Here we go. I have a good one today.
And
I know it.
Jonathan.
Let me feel it.
Everybody,
how sad is that? I keep a note of the dumb things that I say.
Your predictions?
4-3, not 4-1. Sorry, Mike.
I don't apologize.
Hello.
Your guys.
Hello.
I like the result.
If it does, tonight. Oh, hey, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
With one true enemy, himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
How have you been?
Oh, how have you been?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. 7 grams of ashes and all the ships at sea. They are very steady, kids.
Huh?
Oh, watch your automo. Oh, and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. You're out there. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Tony. Okay. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello. Don and Mike show, and it's a new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I hope I didn't hear the door shut there. 10-27-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi,
no, he's not retarded.
Don and Mike show. It's Rocktober.
Oh, yeah, baby.
27-20-04. Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico. Don't laugh. We got one call from Mexico. 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. 202-432. 1067.
I was looking at Rob pulling the tape cartridges down the little hallway here, and they looked like they were going to tip over.
It's a great rack.
He got it. He got it under control. Boy, Jonathan, we have to talk to Jonathan first.
The amazing, sneaky Jonathan.
And we have other important stuff to get to, but this is our lead story right now. Jonathan, sales guy, says to our own Beth Ann McBride, with no offense to all the nice lesbians listening.
Of course not.
Says to her, what are you, gay? Jonathan.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Jonathan, first off, you look to me like you could be selling Bibles door to door. That's the look this kid has.
Thank you.
Have you ever been a Jehovah's Witness, Jonathan?
No, but I'm again, willing to learn.
And Jonathan, did you indeed say to Beth Ann, what are you, gay?
I did. It wasn't as harsh as that. I think I worded it more nicely than that.
How would you word it more nicely than are you gay?
I not in that tone of voice. I said, are you gay? And then she said,
Why would you inquire as to the sexuality of that then?
Well, I have been listening, and it wasn't in the midst of one of my advances. It was just in passing conversation.
Sure. Jonathan, your girlfriend.
Yes.
Let's talk about her.
Okay.
Out of the country, I believe.
She returned yesterday afternoon.
Oh, did she really?
Uh-huh. Really? Where from?
From Argentina.
Argentina, and how long was she there?
She was there since Thursday of last.
Was she your mule?
No.
She bring you any treats back from South America?
She's brought me some cigars before, but they always dry out, so I asked her not to do that.
Really? Well, that's a shame. It's the kind of muling we're talking about.
I'm a different kind of muling. But listen, this whole thing with Beth Ann, you know, she's a single, successful woman.
She is.
She's got it going on. She's doing a great job producing this show. Frankly, we don't need boys bothering her. Boys who don't have any real interest in her beyond whatever fantasy it is that you've got going with her.
Why the fascination with Beth Ann, Jonathan?
Why you care?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I do enjoy hanging out with her. We both started at the same time, as I said, last time.
Does your girlfriend know this? Your unique closeness, your, dare I say, kinship with Beth Ann?
If she didn't, I imagine she does now. I think she may be listening.
May I pose some academic theory?
Yeah.
Do you want to be closer to Beth Ann to be closer to Don and Mike?
That could have something to do with it, but I don't.
Oh, wait a minute! Rob has stumbled upon something here.
He is a big fan of the show.
Huge fan.
Doesn't explain the gay question though.
I'm so. And I'd like to ask. I'd like to ask him. Are you gay?
No. Now, again, but I'm willing to learn.
Jonathan, it is safe to say that you are a big fan of the show.
It is very safe to say.
Do you have gay fantasies about me and Mike?
No.
How about Buzz?
Not
about,
at all.
You know, what about Rob and Joe?
If you call it gay, like fantasizing about Rob beating me up, then yeah, I mean, I guess that was.
Yeah, Jonathan, that's gay.
Come on, Jonathan.
You know, Jonathan, I've noticed when he started working here every day, when he'd walk by the window, he'd do a little peek in, and he seemed to always be walking by the window when we were doing the show.
I understand that, but I don't think that we are really what gets Jonathan going.
Now, since you said that the last time, Mike, I've not been by the window so many times.
No, you haven't. You've kept it in check. I think that's admirable. But I think Rob has a stalker theory.
But I would buy that, except why hit Beth Ann with the, are you gay?
Yeah. And Jonathan, where are you? Are you in the building now?
No, I'm not. I'm actually I'm out trying to make a buck for the company.
If you in fact are trying to use Beth Ann as my buddies here are saying, if you're trying to use Beth Ann as a way to get close to us, why would you say to her, "Are you gay"? Why wouldn't you just string her along with the friendship?
Right.
Unless it's what we thought. It's just the stupid guy thing that you can't believe that you've invested some time in this chick and that she doesn't want to do whatever it is you want to do. So she's got to be gay.
It could be that. It could also be that I'm thinking if she doesn't see a natural progression, that maybe she'll be wise to my.
Jonathan,
no.
Your tangoing Argentinian girlfriend.
Yeah, let's get back to her.
How does she feel about all this?
She's leery, I imagine, a bit.
You imagine?
Have you not discussed your Beth Ann fascination with her?
No, I always skirt the issue.
Has anyone at the radio station ever seen your girlfriend?
I think Michelle Manzai conveniently.
Michelle. How convenient is that? The lady that's out with their pregnancy leave.
The lady that just had the baby after over 2.5 years of carrying. I know you've seen her on the news. She was the lead story.
Yes.
But listen, that's nothing like this thing with Jonathan. No. We kidded Michelle about the fact that she was past due. But
right. Jonathan, what about my theory that perhaps you were asking on behalf of someone else?
No, that's not the case at all.
We still haven't gotten a satisfactory answer, Jonathan.
Jonathan, let me just ask you a couple of quick questions.
Okay.
And I think that Beth Ann will like hearing this. What is it that you like about Beth Ann?
I think that I went to Catholic school, and we don't really talk about Catholic things, but she's got that innocence, like that kind of naivete.
This is something a predator looks for. Beyond the fact, have you ever thought about...
Jonathan, you're not registered in your neighborhood, are you?
Have you ever thought about Beth Ann wearing a Catholic schoolgirl outfit?
Not until now, no.
But think about it right now.
I am.
We all are.
How does that make you feel?
Warm.
Ooh. All warm inside.
Warm. Yeah. Warm and gooey.
Funny. Makes him
Jonathan.
Jonathan... what's the most engaging part of Beth Ann McBride, personality-wise? And don't lay that spirit God crap on me again. You've already wasted that answer.
I think she really is funny. I think our sense of humors are similar. Yesterday, I asked her to write something for me because my handwriting is.
Jonathan, how close are you to your Argentinian girlfriend?
Oh, we're very, very close.
Like, how long have you been seeing her?
A long time, like over 6 years.
What's the best thing about your Argentinian girlfriend?
Oh, well, the list goes on. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's successful.
Can she tango?
Yes, she can. It's kind of like that thing that you talk about, Don, where you're like, you're waiting for that day where Frida, says, what am I doing with this guy?
Okay. So you think you've married up? Is that what you're saying, Jonathan? You're with a woman who's more beautiful than you?
No question about that. There's no question there. David Howard has seen her.
All right, Jonathan, well, let me just tell you this, then, that I think if you are this madly in love with your Argentinian girlfriend, you are jeopardizing by this relationship with Beth Ann.
Because I do buy into that, and I think that I traded up when I met my Connie Honey, but Robbie?
The stalker theory here, he's paralleling your relationship with Frida to his. Which is weird.
That's true. Let me ask
incidentally,
you
I recommend, Jonathan, that for all men, especially single men, that you date women who are less attractive than you. That's always worked for me.
Okay.
All I want to say, I think I broke the rule on
it. It was hard for me to find one.
See, we're all very lucky
guys.
Yes,
we are.
I mean, really, seriously, we all have women in our lives that are hot. And
look at you. Mm-hmm. Look at you talking about karma now.
Look at you. I can throw a compliment my lady's way. I'm feeling rather frisky today.
If you're keeping track, that would be just, they got the dog thing. Mm-hmm. They got the mic coming over thing. We're getting very close to that.
We're well beyond the mic coming over.
No. We're getting to the, come in. And you've said yourself.
Well, I'm in a committed relationship. Yes, I am.
There you go.
Yes, okay.
But I'd like my committed relationship to be Hollywood style for a long time.
Yes.
I'd like it to be Kurt and Goldie for a long time.
Good for you, Mike.
Describe Hollywood style.
Hollywood style.
What does that mean? Like, you don't think Goldie Hawn, some days Kurt Russell leaves his house and thinks he'd like to kill her?
Well, yeah, sure. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about documentation. I'm still a little shell-shocked after what I've been
writing. Oh, you don't want to get married.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah, but okay, so now let's not talk to your wallet. Let's talk to your heart.
My heart?
Talk to your heart.
The place called the heart.
The place called the heart.
I thought we were talking to Jonathan.
let's open up inside the heart of Mike.
Yes?
Can I have some reverb, please?
I will allow... I will allow... At this stage of the game, I will allow... Two questions.
Okay. And first, by means of, let me just check, because I am a soulless bastard, let's check the level of my heart. Hello? Hello?
What are you doing? You're checking the level of your heart?
Listen acoustically.
God putting something on your heart?
Hold on a second, Mike. Hello? This is about as good as I can get in my heart, because I'm full of hate. Now, conversely, let me turn it on and let's see what Mike's got going on in
today?
His heart. Yeah.
Hello!
Much bigger.
Okay, Mike.
Yes, Don.
Don, it's great to be down here where the heart lives.
The place.
The place.
The place called the heart. And look what I'm surrounded by. Guinea hens.
You are in a committed relationship. You don't want to get married.
Not right now, no. I don't want to get married. No, not right now.
But roughly, is she like a wife in the relationship, at least with you now?
No, not yet. No, it's still not at the husband wife stage.
That's why it's going well.
Live in girlfriend stage, even though you're not really living together.
We both have our own places.
Do you have keys for each other's places?
No. Oh. I have a key for hers. She doesn't have a key for mine.
We can end this discussion. Mm-hmm. I know Mike's heart is okay. That's okay. You just passed the test. You're still doing okay.
Really?
Yeah. Because you know what you're saying is. I don't want to say anything. What did Mr. Wolf say? Time is of the essence.
We hang at my place most of the time. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Here's how, you know, I will analyze that. You're willing to open up a little bit to say that your girlfriend is a part of your life. You're in a committed relationship with her.
It's been over a year. Yeah. Wow.
You did the bit where we could
turn
on the echo to get the sound of your heart with what's happening in your soul, and all I got out of it is that... You still have not given her a key to your place. So I know where that...
Well, I'm also moving.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. But still, you didn't...
But it doesn't matter.
It's okay. It's okay. You need that.
I can't say on the air what I would say.
Why? What would you say?
It would make me uptight. Because I leave the doors open most of the time. Come on over, everybody.
That's smart.
But they're locked today.
That's smart. Yeah. Hey, Crooks.
There you go.
Don't come.
Scared kids.
Don't come today because Mike locked the doors today. Well, okay. So you're not as head over heels as I thought. You're just not that you're not extremely happy.
Oh, now you're going to get me in trouble with that.
No.
You're going to get me in trouble. No, I am.
You're plenty.
I'm crazy about this girl.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, really, I've never been treated better.
You can be crazy about somebody without giving them a key.
Yeah, I know. But
don't weigh too much into that.
But
you're going to get me in trouble.
But see, not giving her the key.
Well, that's just it.
He will. Key.
It's an oversight.
How could it be an oversight?
If she wanted a key, I'd give her a key.
Freud says there are no oversights.
if she wanted a key, I'd give her a key in a minute. In a second.
But have you given her
the key to your heart?
What's that?
Have you given her the key to your heart?
I have.
If she wants a key.
I have.
You say if she wants a key, you'd give her the key. Mm-hmm. Well, if you really wanted to have her the key, you wanted her to have the key, you'd give her the key.
Now, so you're going to cause nothing but grief.
I'm just showing you that
she has friends that listen and gets back to her and never...
Then let them know that I'm all for your happiness. I'm not trying to rock the boat. I'm just saying...
You know, consider that boat rocked, and those little squinty eyes of yours are indicating to me that you are having the ball. Rocking the boat.
No.
You're loving rocking the boat.
No. I am not loving rocking the boat.
I'm in a great relationship.
Good.
Okay. All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
You're making me say stuff that I like to keep close to the vest.
Yeah, hello.
You're bringing it out of me. It's your terrible, manipulative, psychological torturing of me that has continued on for 20 years.
Don't say it. I never.
Okay. Hey.
Okay. Wow.
I do. You can't be in a relationship for that long without saying that to somebody.
That's nice.
We just had a breakthrough on this show.
Oh, you're killing me.
You're killing me.
And I'm tired, too. I'm goofy tired. Sure. You caught me on a low energy day.
Oh, yeah. Heard it here.
The whole World Series thing, you know.
Heard it here. Wow.
Wow, what?
But Jonathan? Oh, Jonathan's got a call back.
Wow, what?
Wow.
And what?
Hold on. Wow, you made a huge announcement today.
Oh, stop it. Now, see, now you're gonna embarrass me in front of a reporter.
Look at this, reporter's like.
Oh, jeez.
Hello?
Hey, baby.
Congratulations, Mike.
Yeah.
Congratulations on what?
On being in love.
Very happy for you.
On being in love.
Oh. For all I know, because we don't get to socialize with you ever, that it might
be. Why is that? Why? You know, why is that? Do you think that is That is because of right now. That's why. I don't want to be embarrassed.
He doesn't want any of his life talked about on the radio the way that we talk about ours. But I think that everybody wants to know how Mike's doing.
I'm doing great.
Are you afraid? What would you reveal with a dinner with us? I mean, that if we went out for a nice evening together, what would be revealed that couldn't be talked about on there? Would you make love on the table? Would you propose to her in front of us? What secret would come out at a dinner if the four of us went out?
You, woman, are a conjurer.
I'm just saying, that's a little paranoid.
Paranoia. But, you know, I can look back at all the other relationships where I've done the same thing, and that's never necessarily worked out.
Right, and that's
maybe I should change strategies, you know?
That's
What the hell? We'd like to go out with you and...
Right.
We would.
I'm sure.
We would, and right now we have similar hairstyles, your girlfriend and I, because I'm wearing my...
Why do you say, I'm sure? You
know, no, I know you would.
I would.
I know you would.
I'd like to get together with you and your girlfriend.
I know.
Like,
this has been 20 years I've done this.
Super secret inspector.
I've always been super secret.
I know, but come on.
I always have been.
Come on.
Come on, no.
Come on, what the hell?
I don't know what the hell.
We wouldn't have to go to your house.
No, it's not that I'm not tremendously fond of both of you. You know the reasons.
We've had a breakthrough. He is admitted.
That's the reason. There it is.
Yeah, what?
Right there.
Yeah, what would be so wrong? Come on. What would be so wrong that you would open up a little bit?
Huh?
Because eventually, you're going to be happy. And if this girl ends up being one that you're with for a while...
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be miserable with her, too. So why not? And I mean that as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The natural progression,
you know,
I think.
When the novelty wears off, you know, that's when you find out where the rubber meets the road. You've been together a year now.
Well, the novelty almost wore off last night with the dog. I'm sorry. The dog had diarrhea last night. That'll do it. And I
think he's changing the topic a little bit.
See, this is why. I'm feeling totally paranoid and attacked.
I
can't get a word in edgewise when you're on this subject.
Just bringing in the dog diarrhea, though, made me laugh because...
Well, it's the truth.
Frida's right. It's a great defensive maneuver on your part.
Of course it is. And I'm good at that. I know you're hip to it, and I know you're aware of it.
I laugh so much because I know it, and she knows it.
If we went out and something happened, wouldn't your relationship, aren't you saying that your relationship is so tenuous, so delicate, won't stand the test of time, that any little puff of wind from my husband could blow it over? Is that what you want out of a relationship? Maybe that's why the other ones haven't worked out long term.
Esmeralda, hold on. Let me tell you that I
think she'd be Samantha.
I think
Big Frida is Esmeralda.
I'm not going to get into this game because I cannot win.
Mike,
we simply
need to do is socialize with someone that we love.
Point of order, it's Endora.
Oh, Endora. Thank you.
Right.
Who is Esmeralda?
I think an aunt?
I think
crazy aunt.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Either way.
Clara.
I'm glad you heard it, honey. I got it out of him, so at least we know.
So was that the manipulative game that you were playing, just to get that expression out of me?
I wanted to get something out of you. I'll be honest, that's a bigger payoff than I had been hoping for. But that's just that's the kind of negotiator I am.
Yeah, right.
And Mike, even if we can't share in your joy, we're still happy for you.
Yeah, and that's right. True. We are.
Remotely.
We are.
Yeah, okay.
Even if we're not included in your circle, we're still happy for you.
We'd like to socialize with you.
Yes.
We would. I'm not. I know. I'm not kidding.
I know.
Even if we're not good enough to go out with
you. We don't know what you tell your girlfriend about us. Like, right. How awful can we be?
Even though you're ashamed of us as friends, we're still happy for you.
Boy, you two are a one to, you know, when you,
everybody
two,
else.
You two get up on the, you know, when you're on the same side of that demilitarized zone, this is tough.
You know, the thing is, we're friends with everybody on the show. Right. We go out with Buzz and Marcia. We go out with Robbie and Carrie. Jennifer, you know, Beth Ann's daughter's been over. We talk with Beth Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody says to me, hey, you ever get together with Mike? I always tell him that thing that, you know, no, it's because we work together and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, and then we get...
through that.
We get a lot of, you know, time together in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, Don, and Frida have kept, for example, my worst secrets. So, I mean, you know, some gets out on the air, but we hold some back.
Shut up, Buzz. All right, there we go. I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Everything's
wonderful.
Yeah,
you're wonderful. Fine, but because you're not being excluded and snubbed.
I certainly hope you don't feel snubbed.
Well, you know, when a couple that you like insists that they would really enjoy getting together with you and you flatly refuse, I think that's pretty much the definition of a snub.
Well, I guess you'll have to call it that then.
All right.
Well, congratulations, nonetheless. We're happy for you.
Thank you.
Yes, we are.
All right. Very good.
Hey, baby.
We can keep hoping.
Sometimes there's no wind.
Hey,
no,
baby.
No.
Can you? Hold on. Let me just whisper for a second. Hey, baby.
Yes.
What do you think it is that he doesn't want us to find out about?
Oh, stop it.
What do you think it is?
I'm wondering what he would do if we went out. That would be so horrible to be talked about the next day and humiliate and wreck
the relationship. You or I are on his, you know, his brown list. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm assuming he...
You know what? I'm actually hiding from him right now, even though he's just right like 5 feet away from me. I'm hiding from him so he can't see me.
I don't know. And I'd like to know what you have done or I have done in the past that was so bad.
I don't know.
Make it so he vowed never to see us in public again.
I don't know how to tell you this, though. I think it's you. I don't think it's me. I just gave me the okay sign on that.
Then do do a little experiment. You go out with the two of them. And see if that's A-okay, if I'm not there.
What do you say, pal? What do you say? Come on. Come on.
I don't go out with anybody.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah, we know that, so.
Yeah, you don't go out with any of...
Right.
Well, no, that's true. You don't go out with anybody from the show.
No, no.
That's I guess we'll true. Have to make a reservation at his restaurant and so we can see him in public.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Honey, I guess, you know... Well, hold on. I have to hide again for a second. I think it's you, but don't worry. I still love you.
It's me?
Yeah, it's you. I'm positive it's you. He gave me the okay sign. It's you. I don't know what it is. You scare him.
Well, he won't go out with just you.
No, he won't go out with me either. He hates me, too. I don't know why.
Hey.
All right.
Hey, what? What?
Stop that.
Anyway.
All right.
How are you?
Love you.
I love you, too.
All right, baby. We have each other.
Of course we do.
Okay. Goodbye, sweetie.
All right. Never mind. Tell you later.
I think I just lost weight.
Oh, man.
Hey, now.
Hey, now, what happened to that kid?
Jonathan?
Yeah.
It's his fault. Now I'm mad at him.
He's not on the phone anymore, so we need him. We need him on this. Oh, this is a very important show.
He's not dead, Rob.
You don't think
he didn't die just during that segment. That was me.
You didn't die, Mike.
No.
You didn't die. You're just endearing yourself to the audience. You're just letting the audience know and letting all of our listeners know what's happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You never talk about that. So I'll stop busting your balls about this.
I mean, I don't do that. That's not what I do.
I know, but don't you think people listening would like to know how you're doing? I mean, when you were going through your divorce, you were quite chatty about it.
Well, just like the last divorce. When I'm going through divorces, I talk about it.
I know.
I'm going through the good stuff, I don't talk about it because I don't want to wreck it.
But I don't think that...
That's the idea.
Okay, but you're 0-2 using that theory.
What's that? Yeah.
So
you got a point there.
So this time, come on.
Break the curse.
What do you got to lose? You like the Red Sox. Red Sox are winners tonight, and your girlfriend's not mad at you tonight. Because no matter how you think in your paranoid mind that I've spun this against you, you know what? All she's going to take out of it is that, hey, Big Daddy says he loves her on the radio.
Okay.
How about that?
Big Daddy.
Come on.
How do you know my nickname? No, I'm just kidding.
Hello. Who's this? Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Jonathan.
Back to you, you little weasel. Look what you got me into.
Jonathan, listen,
I'm over here.
What are your intentions with Beth Ann? I ask you to be honest and forthcoming now. I have no time for this. Mike is already wilted under the hot French fry lamp.
And I want you to give us the utmost honest answer.
So, yes, what are your intentions with Beth Ann McBride?
Well, my intentions are strictly platonic.
Then stop checking her out and stop asking her about her sexuality. And please to be producing this mail order girlfriend you have.
I would love to, but she's afraid to come in and meet you guys. I can't imagine why.
Can you bring a photo?
I can.
Of you two together.
Can you bring a photo of her? I learned this in the movie Proof of Life.
Uh-huh. Right.
Can you bring a photo of her holding tomorrow's Washington Post, dated with tomorrow's name.
No, Jonathan, bring that photo of when the four of us went out last week. You remember that?
I do. It was great.
It was fun.
Right. Okay. All right. Bye, Jonathan.
Bye.
Bye.
He's creepy. Rob's theory, I think, is spot on. I think the fact is he might... I mean, I don't want to sound egotistical, but it might be Hey. He's using Beth Ann to get to us.
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If he's doing that, why has he got to say the thing to Beth Ann about being a lesbian?
Why the gay question?
Right. Because...
Smokescreen.
He's not that smart.
No. You're right.
You don't see when he walks by the window, and he stopped doing it, and I noticed it more. When he first started working here, it was every single day. It was every single day. And that is something that I've noticed because I sit here and I observe that window all the time, and I've noticed it with different employees that have been here.
But he could find his way. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. He's going out to lunch with Beth Ann. He's invested quality time with Beth Ann. He calls her. He asks her to watch the football game together.
No, how about this? He's frustrated because he sees that as the best way to get to you guys. That's where the frustration is.
I gotta say, I hate to say this, but I agree with Rob.
Huh.
So you think Jonathan is in
Everyone
love with us?
Everyone hates to say that.
I mean, I think he really, I really do kind of like her. She's not bad.
Yeah, Rob's right.
And in the meantime, I can get closer and find out more about Don and Mike.
He thought he could turn on the charm, have his way, plow over her, get to you guys, and it wasn't working. And he said, aha, she must be gay.
Do you feel used?
No.
Because
I got some lunches out of it, which is always good.
That is a bogus theory.
No, I think he's right.
I'm not happy.
No, he sees it.
You really think that it's lust after Beth Ann?
Yes, I do, because I watch all the guys around the station work. I pay special attention to Trouser Snake aficionado Cameron Gray. Okay, as he goes through like one of those Budweiser frogs with the tongue coming out and just eating the flies.
I don't know, Eddie. I don't know.
I have noticed Cameron at work here at the radio station. I don't know if Cameron's in a committed relationship. I just know that he has a way of chatting with the ladies, and at least it used to mean something with Cameron. It was always leading somewhere. I see the same behavior in this young chap. Because I've seen him like...
Well, I think we're going to have more interviews with Jonathan. Yeah. And you know, interviews where we can look at him and see what he's really thinking.
Think he'll like that.
Coming through the hallway, you know, like it'll be the two of them there. And he doesn't act all, like, happy to see me like a stalker would.
Nervous. No, see, too nervous. I agree.
Rob has been there before. I think he knows the signs when he sees it.
What do you mean Rob has been there before?
No, I mean, like, has Rob, like, loved the show? And that's how he found his way to you guys.
I have a... Wow. I believe, methinks the lady is dissing you.
No, I'm not.
Well, I've had thousands of women, you know, throw themselves at me to get to Don and Mike.
Hey, wait a minute. When Rob was into the show, Rob started out by calling the show and, like, doing the Jimmy Stewart thing at Christmas time.
Rob was just a...
Rob dove, like, headed... Rob wasn't that... Like sneaky, like Jonathan.
No, yeah, right. He's always pretty direct about it.
You got a job at the place where you're at.
But then so did Jonathan.
Jonathan has
a
job.
Also,
but Jonathan's doing it in a way that's it's not.
You know, here's a great example. When I was growing up as a kid, I listened to WLS radio. That's the only radio station I ever really, really wanted to work. I listened to the station all the time. Same deal.
And WPGC, too, a little bit. Right,
yeah, right. So I remember those as important stations I wanted to work at. Rob, growing up, we were the show that was on.
That's right. I wanted to work at WAVA, but you left.
And I want to say this about Rob.
Yes.
He's a beautiful lover.
Don.
And I find...
Keep the secret.
I find any of this talk atrocious. Beth Ann, just watch out. Watch out for that guy. He's bad news. And hey, B.A.?
Yeah?
Now, you're a woman.
Hmm?
How good was that, that Mike said he loved his girlfriend?
I thought that was sweet.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was it warm and fuzzy?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all knew we loved her.
It was softer.
But to hear him say it was nice.
It was. One of my
Mike, thanks you.
Mike,
it's like Wild World.
Mike's doing that Italian thing now.
It's like that old man at Wild World.
Yay!
Right there, Don.
back in the day, and I mean back in the day.
It is the greatest obscene gesture that we ever received.
We did.
It was the great, and I still remember it. It's still the best.
We did an appearance at the stinkiest amusement park.
It's horrible.
Wild World. And it was some old guy, like 80.
Didn't he have like a
Confederate flag hat in the front row?
And you said something to him like, hey, old man.
He
took offense. And he gave the Italian gesture, you know, with the hand and the elbow.
Yeah.
And he did it with the finger, too. It's like,
hey!
Yeah, he showed you.
Goodbye, B.A.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I don't think she was dissing me.
Looking out for you. I don't know. Maybe. David in Tampa Bay. David.
We'll talk.
Hello, David. Yes. Hi, yes. David. Hey, yeah.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi.
The theory is that Jonathan must be traveling after VA just to get the designs off her Christmas attire.
Okay, thank you. Right. Bye-bye. Here's somebody who maybe has a little more insight. Then we got a break because this is late today. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Bobby Mailman.
I'm the first that saw the beauty of Beth Ann.
Oh, that's right. You
asked her out.
That's right. Oh, he did. That's
yes,
right.
He did.
That's right.
And you shot me down like Emmett Till.
We didn't shoot you. Who is this? Who is this figure from history?
Oh, you don't know who Emmett Till is.
I think Robert.
Does he play strong safety for the Cincinnati Bengals?
No, he's been dead since 1955. He was lynched for whistling at a white woman.
I thought it might be something like that.
But I mean, Jonathan, you guys embrace Jonathan.
Rob, how's his family doing?
Yeah. I called on my butt and said, "Oh no, we can't have this." Da 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 da.
No. Hold on a second.
If you saw Jonathan, you'd know we're not embracing him.
No, if anything,
I think that Beth Ann. I think
when I was in there for
Robert. Robert, he's creepy.
I think Beth Ann ought to go out with Robert.
I told you. I said, Don, why don't you pay for me and Beth Ann to go to the pond?
I'll pay for it. That's between you and the lady. See, I'm just doing a little creative defense right now.
Hold on.
The spotlight is off of me.
The phone.
Ring. Hey, Beth Ann?
No.
This is costing me a lot of money this month.
Beth Ann?
I talk to Beth Ann all the time.
I mean, I like Robert, but we have to keep it, you know, it's a business relationship.
Go ahead, Robert. Ask her if she's gay. Go ahead, Robert. Ask her.
Jump over the table and bite you.
Ask her if she's gay.
Are you a guy? Because I thought that too. Because how could you turn down such a stud as myself?
Yeah.
There you go, my man.
I'll pay for you guys to go to Fuddruckers.
Is it, guys? Figure it out. Bobby.
So I can afford that.
Bobby, we got to go.
If you can afford it, then do it yourself.
Okay, I'll take you to the pond anytime you want. You know, it's a loud ass Christmas shirts.
All right, goodbye. We got to go.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, all right. Good opening segment.
Yeah.
Be right back, everybody. Okay, what, Rob? What?
Say maybe Robert could go with Jonathan.
To the palm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't have asked you what you wanted to say.
I'd have something.
You know, live and learn. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have you noticed how many commercials now are that Japanese-Chinese accent that we used to get in trouble for?
Yes, I have. We just put whatever the commercial was, Geico.
Oh, yes, Geico, number one. You know what else is number one, Mike?
Quick.
OnStar. Personal calling, hands-free phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicle. Bonsai.
Yes, just in case you wanted too far off the beaten path, okay?
It's no ancient Chinese secret. Mini packages start under $15.
Voice activated, dialing, and hands-free operation. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel, okay?
You're not bound by a separate contract like your auntie.
You can answer on the 50 GMPS models, including with MSRP around $16,000. To learn more, visit answer.com, okay?
The Save It Sound plan costs $16.95 per month plus tax. OnStar.com.
The Don and Mike Show.
Send that right out.
WKFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show.
After you let the air out of the balloon, all that you're left with is the latex and the Don and Mike Show.
Right. On Friday, it's NFL Day. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will be here. Rich brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the movies than music and movies you love at Tower.com. NFL Total Access every night, 7 and 10. Details at NFL.com. And now, Halloween.
Halloween!
Halloween with somebody who I knew up until, like, yesterday. I didn't know that he knew anything about Halloween.
Halloween.
Dr. James Capers.
Yay.
Hello.
Now, as far as I knew, he's a psychic.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's going to be on the show today to talk about psychic attacks from the undead.
Oh, and no. He sounds like Little Richard.
He wants to talk about black witches.
Uh-huh.
He wants to talk about goblins. And he wants to talk about his apprentice.
This very well could be Dr. Capers' scariest appearance on the show ever. Scared?
So let's call Dr. James Capers. He has some bogus website that he'll be plugging.
Actually, I just found out about The Apprentice. That's I'm the one who wants to talk about that.
The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Bless my purchase and cut my credit card. It's the time and myself.
Yeah, this is theme song. Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Capers.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on your show.
We love being hearty.
You would have to pull Little Richard out your hat, wouldn't you?
Of course, Babaloobob.
If you could please tell us, here we are, just the days before Halloween. Dr. Capers, what is your nutty website again?
Oh, it's www.drdrjames.com.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
Okay, so for the record, what is your background, Dr. Capers?
Well, I have a bachelor's in behavior science, a master's in counseling psychology.
Right.
I've done psychotherapy for 6 years and have a PhD in philosophy of religious studies.
All right, let's talk about goblins and let's talk about black witches.
Yeah, you're saying like all sorts of horrible things are going to happen now.
Yes, and guys, you never do a follow-up on any of my feature stories, and you got to do one because we did X mark the spot where Osama bin Laden was.
Uh-huh.
We gave longitude and latitude, and 2-3 weeks later, the first terrorist attack in Saudi Arabia was 41 miles from the exact location that I gave you.
Which okay, means that's where close. He was, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's where all the terrorist attack started in Saudi Arabia, was 41
right.
miles from the exact longitude
right.
and latitude.
I know it's going to be scary.
About Halloween.
Yes.
Now that we know your background as a renowned psychic. Could you explain to us the black witch phenomenon?
Well, yes, we want to talk about witches who are masquerading first as psychic readers. Now, guys, a lot of you who've been getting cold feet or running around on your wives and your girlfriends, you got to be very careful this Halloween. Because during this Halloween, witches increase their powers 80%.
And do they?
Oh, yes.
80%?
80% during only one night. They increase their powers for 80%. And not only that, but a lot of people who go to psychic readers who are really masquerading as psychic readers are truly Hittite witches. And they're using mainstream names as a way to get people and to market themselves to get clients. So what happens is women who want this handsome, tall, dark, and handsome man and can't get him, she says, sex him.
So if a guy goes into a place that says, like, tarot cards or psychic readings, there very well might be a witch in there.
Oh, you said a mouthful.
Oh, you really did.
Yes, because many of them are, in fact, masquerading around as psychic readers, but they're really, truly bona fide witches.
Dr. Capers, when you spoke today to Robbie Spiewak, you mentioned to him that you have an apprentice?
Oh, yes.
Now, is he there of his own free will?
No, serious.
You know, guys, I've been training apprentices for the last 20 years, and I've trained black, Hispanic, Japanese, white. So, you know, of course, they come on their own free will because they gain my most inner secrets of my power.
Really? Wow. How many apprentices have you trained, Dr. Capers?
Oh, I think this is the 11th.
11th.
The 11th.
Do you have a favorite apprentice over the years?
Oh, yes. Maxine Chen. I loved her so much. She was from Japan, and she was just a wonderful, gifted clairvoyant. And she went on to work internationally in Japan, and she holds a VIP position in a big marketing firm.
Wow. Do any of your apprentices have to sign a confidentiality agreement with you before they...
Look, this isn't Hollywood.
It sure isn't. And Dr. Capers, it has nothing to do with Halloween, but can't you psychically predict the election for us?
Yeah, we'd love to know.
Oh, please.
You know, guys, I'm trying to stay out of that because, you know, one of the things that happens is every time that I do a correct prediction or something that's really close, I go get into an airplane, and before I get on, I got four S's underneath my name, as in security, 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 high risk.
So you don't want to hazard a guess at the outcome of the election?
Well, personally, I would like John Kerry to win, because I think that President Bush is really, really doing a whole lot of wonderful and outstanding things for the extremely rich. And I don't really see him doing very much for the middle class or the poor.
Okay, so having said that... Why don't you, you're for Kerry personally, I bet, first, let me ask you, because if I understand this correctly, are you going to be traveling between now and the election?
Yes.
And you are convinced if you announce who you think is going to win the election...
That the Secret Service will, like, come and get you?
Okay, well, how about if we back up, guys?
All right.
In March, I broadcast that there were going to be terrorist attacks in the New York subway. That's what I broadcast. And also against buildings. Now, what happens in July? Bam! They come out, Homeland Security comes out and says, we have viable information that there are going to be terrorist attacks in the subway and also towards...
We thought he was going to talk about Halloween.
When they ask, where did this information come from? What did he say?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said the information comes from an undisclosed source that we can't give you the source. And guys, guess what that source was?
You?
Was it you?
Yes, that's right. Tutti Frutti.
Wow.
Tutti Frutti.
What about, hey, Dr. Capers.
Yes.
What about goblins?
Oh, you know, guys, you got to watch out. Because goblins only materialize themselves once a year on Halloween, and they live in your front yard.
In your front yard?
No.
Yes, goblins live in your front yard, and they materialize only on Halloween, the Day of the Dead, the day that the ghost does the dead walk. That's why it's called the Day of the Undead. Now, I want you to know that what happens if a goblin attacks you?
Okay, what happens if a goblin attacks you?
It practically sucks all your power out.
Wow.
It sucks all your what out?
Power.
Oh, your power.
Your energy. Power.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, yes, it does.
What happens?
That might not be a bad way to go.
Well, see, it ages you 20 years.
Oh.
So if you're up in your 50s, you better leave that goblin alone, sugar.
I guess it would all be relative to the last time that you had the power sucked out of you.
Yeah, have you ever seen a person attacked by a goblin?
You'd be willing to go for it.
And don't forget about them black witches.
Yeah, the black witch hellers.
But how do you know there's...
I want you to know those black witches are indigenous to the West Coast, but Dawn Halsey, they can fly anywhere in the world. And they trick men between the age of 18 and 45.
18 and 45?
We're safe, buddy.
I'm not.
Well, they turn into these beautiful, gorgeous women. And as they turn into these beautiful, gorgeous women, they said...
You love your girlfriend.
Okay. And then they seduce them to acts of intimacy.
Yeah.
And as they seduce this act of intimacy...
Right.
They kill them. They suck the life force out of them.
There's that sucking again.
Sucking.
Beautiful
Ted,
woman.
Ted.
Wow. You're scaring me.
Ted.
Oh, don't be scared. Not just don't do nothing on Halloween.
stay in the house. Is that what you would advise?
If I were you, son of CC Snuff.
Well, speak English. What were you just saying?
Oh, I said sure enough CC Snuff. You mean you never heard of that?
No. Sure enough CC Snuff?
Sure enough CC Snuff.
Have you ever had your physical powers drained, Dr. King?
Oh, yes. I had it drained once or twice in my life.
Sure. Were those powers sucked out of you?
Oh, my.
You got me. Now, I want you to know that every last one of your callers who are listening can come up to the website.
Yes.
And if they buy anything, they get a free reading. And those readings are $200 for 20 minutes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yes, if they purchase anything from the website, I guarantee them one free clairvoyant reading.
Free reading.
There you go, from Dr. Capers. We've now learned about goblins. We've learned about black witches. We've learned about having the power sucked out of you. We've learned about politics and your apprentice. May we ask the name, the first name of your current apprentice?
Oh, you want to know the first name of the current apprentice?
Please. Yes, please.
His name is Charles.
Charles.
Yes, he's Scottish. He's Scottish.
How old might he be?
He's 26.
26. Very good.
Is that in dog years? Or?
You know, I have a cat that's 20.
Do you really? Wow. What's your cat's name?
Her name is Felicia Gustavo Acosta.
That's pretty.
What do you call her when you want her to come and like go to the litter box? I mean, do you call the whole name for the cat?
Lovely. That's funny. How many cats do you have, Dr. Capers?
Oh, I only have her. She's my precious little baby. And over the years, she learned how to do teleportation. So she can be outside and she'll teleport inside.
Really?
That's cool. Fascinating.
Actually, this year, she teleported. I was in Egypt, and she teleported from San Diego to Egypt and scared the crap out of me when she appeared in my bed.
Now, that is amazing. Appeared in your bed?
Yes, she appeared in my bed.
Wow.
Only for a couple of seconds, and then she disappeared.
Is your bedroom, like, really, like, frilly and fluffy with, like, big comforters and things like that?
Well, why do you want to know?
Look,
I'm scared of you now.
No, watch out.
Inside the royal palace.
when the cat arrived, did the cat suck the power out of you?
Well, you know, I've had her since she was a little kitten, and she also has a birth certificate. She came with a birth certificate.
Really?
My little precious little queenie. I love my little baby so much.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that little
That's fascinating. Okay. Nice.
All right, Dr. Capers, well.
Oh, one of his best appearances
on
the show.
What can I say
but that? It was scary, all right.
Oh, wasn't that scary? Huh?
Dr. James Capers telling us all about the goblins, the black witches.
Yeah, and he can help you with anything, right?
Politics, the As Apprentice.
Right.
DrJamesCapers.com,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's it.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Any parting words for us, Dr. Capers?
You better watch out. When you come out on Halloween, you never know who might bite you.
Oh, wow.
Wow. All right.
That is scary.
Right.
That is scary.
Suck the power right out of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye, Dr. Capers.
Bye-bye.
Be cool.
You too.
Bye-bye.
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 There he goes. He's fine.
Yeah, here's Dr. Capers.
Hey, old queen.
Gee, do you think?
Yeah. Oh, you better be careful.
Well, your gaydar is really tuned today, isn't it, Mike?
Who's going to bite you?
Oh, we forgot to give our best to Charles.
Charles, who's tied up to a chair in his root cellar right now.
Charles, I'm coming down.
Thank you, Dr. Dr. Capers. We'll be back with somebody else.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Reminding you to watch this Saturday night on Monster Killer Horror Theater when we present another in our fine line of horror classics. We got a scary one for you this week, believe me. This was a great film. It was made in 1956, I believe, and it's a 3D special. That's right. It's called Dr. Tong's Evil House of Pancakes. I haven't seen this one, so let's take a look at some clips.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're marvelous, you captain. Leave them alone. They're beautiful.
Right.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I must say, from where I sit, I am truly enjoying your colorful patois.
Here to shepherd you through your afternoon, Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
Here we go in
Concord, New Hampshire.
WXKXL or XKL. Make the letters bigger so I can read them, please.
Come on.
Ocean City, Maryland, 95.9. 96 Rock. Madison, Wisconsin, WLT at WTLX.
One fine morning, girl, I'll wake up.
100.5 X. X 100.5. Oh, something.
Go upside and feel
like an eye chart.
You know what? This has to be bigger.
Yeah.
This is a good thing.
That is tiny.
We were on 48 stations.
Yes.
I know the other day we said it was 43.
Uh-huh.
The new count is 48.
Wow. Ooh.
But the letters must be bigger.
That is a little fine print.
I got to hold it this close to tell you. Let me find it. For God's sakes, we're Superior, Wisconsin.
Come on, for crying out loud.
WGEE. And how about in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Warm, WARM.
Wonderful.
Those are some of the stations that are carrying the show. Now, are you ready for a segment that I like to call 3 minutes of insincerity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 minutes of real jive. Now, neither you nor I, here are the ground rules. Neither you nor I are allowed to use our cliches. Isn't that something?
All right.
How about that?
Okay.
We also cannot use our fake voices.
Okay.
We must simply, actually...
I like it already.
...be sincere.
Okay.
Now...
But now, see, when you do the setup like that, it'll require discipline. It'll require
it
self-discipline,
yes,
on both our parts.
Of course it will. Now,
I bet I win.
I'll tell you who the topic of today's isn't that insincere?
Yes.
Is Bobby Boris
3 minutes
Pickett.
Of insincerity. Uh-huh.
Bobby Boris Pickett.
Yes.
Now he is the guy, of course, who made history right here with the Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late.
And he's still with us.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Not only is he with us, but he has a crazy new song all about the elections.
Oh, wonderful.
Good. Done to the tune of the Monster Mash.
That is fantastic.
Oh, you don't have to start yet.
Oh. Good job. I told you I'd win.
I know.
I am really ready to go.
So let me mention, well, I'll get him on. Robbie, if you'll put 3 minutes on the clock, please.
You got it.
And let me know. And we have a copy of the new song?
Yes, right here.
The remake? Okay. 3 minutes of insincerity.
Okay, ready?
Come on, don't look at me in that tone of
voice. All right, I'm ready.
Come on, ready?
I'm ready.
Let's start. But now, hold on.
Is he there?
He was just there.
Oh, no.
Now, come on, we were gonna give him the bootlicking of a lifetime.
Absolutely.
What happened to him? That line just went Brando.
I was so ramped up for that.
You know, he can hear you on that line.
Oh.
Oh, could he really?
I think so on that line, yeah.
I didn't think he could. I didn't have the...
He was on this one, right?
Yeah, he was on that one.
Yeah, he can hear you on that, not on that one.
Oh!
Well, that kind of shoots us in the foot, doesn't it?
We'll call him back after he still wants to be on to have his new record played.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of defeated the.
If we wait,
if you heard us setting up anybody. And
normally, I'm clever enough that I put the microphones in a position.
Unless you're just totally daft.
Hey,
do you want me to give you the number?
Well, why don't you call it?
Yeah, you're the producer.
I didn't just go on the air and say I was going to be 3 minutes of fake sincerity.
Honey, come on. Yeah. What kind of show are we doing?
Come okay.
on.
You want me to call him back?
Yeah, call him back and tell him, listen, that's we're goofing around.
By the time we get him back, the 3 minutes will be up, and we can convince him that we've already had our 3 minutes of insincerity.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. This is good producer training for you.
Okay.
That's funny, though, when you said you want his number.
I'll be glad to promote the fact that Bobby Boris Pickett will be part of a live chat tomorrow at 3 p.m. Or, excuse me, Friday at 3 p.m. at WashingtonPost.com.
And it is the classic Halloween song.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me call.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be back.
You mean anyone can get on their computer and talk to Bobby Boris Pickett?
I can, Rob.
Maybe Bethann could call Jonathan and have him call Bobby Boris Pickett.
What is, you know, this is a conversation for Bethann and I to have. She's so funny. She maybe is too nice for this job. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think she's
funny. I don't think so. She's a fighter.
Yes. This wasn't anything all that bad.
No. It was
simply leaving the line open, and he heard it. And
I didn't mean
he makes
listen.
Parody, right?
Normally,
maybe it was a disconnection. Maybe he didn't hear it.
Maybe normally I do that thing though, where I push the buttons, and I know I'm adept at that, so people can't hear what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I was on the wrong phone line. All right, here he is ringing now. Rob, would you pick it up, please?
Yeah.
Excellent. We're such cowards.
Hang on for Don and Mike, please.
All right, very good.
Okay, so now he's perfect. On hold.
We'll know right away.
No, he can.
All right.
Okay, let's go to him. Here he is, Bobby Boris Pickett. Oh, I see the thing.
Is Bobby Boris Pickett on the line?
Yes.
Hey. Hello, Bobby Boris Pickett. How are you?
Hello, Don and Mike. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
There's that same voice that you used on the song.
Are you surprised?
No.
Oh, not at all. Now we have...
I can do Truman Capote if you'd like.
Oh, could I hear some Truman Capote?
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, that's good.
Why is that good?
Yeah, you know, speaking of good, we do have the remake of Monster Mash.
Well, I wouldn't call it a remake.
Well, anyway, the song Monster Slash.
Monster Slash.
Is it called the Monster Slash?
Yes.
Dave Alfortis.
I don't know if you can improve on that original, though.
Mike, I think you can.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you can, and I think you need to give your ears a couple of seconds.
Well, I'd love to listen to it.
Check it out.
We were hiking in the forest late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. Our president appeared.
Jesus Christ.
Brown.
I'm pretty sure he can't hear us right now.
The forest
is he there?
I'll turn the microphones back on. Hey, Bobby.
Yes.
It's pretty funny.
When did you come out with the new one?
Thank you. Well, actually, it was the campaign for the protection of America's lands that put this out about 4 or 5 days ago.
Oh, so this is brand new. That's terribly exciting.
I think so.
I can't tell you how thrilled we are that you were on our show to promote this.
My pleasure.
And you are Mr. Halloween, if I could say that to you. You are.
Oh, you could call me the Guy Lombardo of Halloween. Yes.
May I?
Well, of course.
Thank you, Guy.
Is there a lot of pressure involved in being the, you know, associated with that holiday where everybody thinks of you at Halloween? Does it get to be too
Not
much? I would
all.
Think it'd be overwhelming.
Well, I look forward to it. Once a year, I get resurrected or dug up, if you will. I sing a medley of my hit for a month, and then I go back underground.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm about to win.
How long was the new song in the works?
About 10 minutes.
Really? So it was effortless for you to write it, because you've been writing all along.
I didn't write it, sir. No, sir, I did not write it.
Bobby,
no?
May I?
No.
Bobby?
The people who did the came up with the idea. They wrote it.
But what about your previous Christmas offering, Monsters Holiday, Bobby?
What about it? I've never done it since I recorded it, but I will be doing it in the first week of December in Keene, New Hampshire.
I think it is a masterpiece.
So you're still performing live? Please tell me you are.
I am.
And I also want to tell you,
alive.
You are so funny.
How young are you now, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
I will be 67 in a few months.
67?
67.
Sounds
67
younger.
67 and still getting it done. Can we hear a little more of the new song now?
Is this the Monster Slash?
Monster Slash.
Late one night, when our eyes beheld an eerie sight, our president appeared and began to frown.
Oh, yeah, timeless. And timely.
Cut the forest down. Flash.
And if I could tell you something as well, sir, being an aficionado of broadcast and all things involved.
You're a musicologist, too.
Technically, beautiful. Three words come to mind, wall of sound.
Mm-hmm. The Phil Spector thing.
Phil Spector, yeah.
Which is similar, you know, and obviously he's gotten into a few scrapes with the law recently, but as far as the technical makeup of the record, I get that a little bit. And it's a little, I don't know if you're a fan of theirs or not, but I get a little Mannheim steamroller in there.
And you are doing so much for the environment. Can I just thank you for all you're doing for
the
environment?
Well, it's my honor and privilege.
You know, I thank you on behalf of everybody that's got the Greenpeace sticker on their car. May I just say, Bobby Boris Pickett, genius.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for gracing us on the Don and Mike Show. And thank you for allowing us to premiere your brand new song, Monster Slash.
I'll be doing an online chat on Friday at noon on WashingtonPost.com.
And the wonderful original lives on for generations, and we couldn't be more thrilled about that.
That's it.
You take care of yourself.
One last thing.
Jason, happy Halloween, fellas.
That online chat will be there.
Okay.
All of us.
Take care, Bobby.
Bye-bye. Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you got me with the laugh.
That was so sincere.
You got me with the laugh there.
Finally beat you. Yeah. Finally beat you.
I really thought I had you on that game.
You know, that interview was both a trick and a treat.
We can stop the answer.
I think that went fine.
I don't think you could hear it. See? Doesn't everything always have a happy ending on the Don and Mike Show?
If you consider that a happy ending, then yes.
Of course it was.
You don't consider that a happy ending?
I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
I don't know.
I know what you're going through. We've all gone through it on this show.
Beth Ann, this would be a good
place. One time or another, Beth Ann, I feel your pain, but once you embrace it, it's a warm, comforting feeling.
I think I'm avoiding it. I think I'm...
Embrace the cynicism.
This would be a good place to be insincere.
Insincere. Yeah, I think it was the best radio.
No, Buzz is saying this would be the best response. You kind of chuckle to yourself. And you go, I love you guys.
You're the best.
That's
good. See, you're an insincere. You've got an insincere person inside of you.
That's right.
Waiting to come out.
Watch out, fellas.
Okay, and I'm telling you that, yeah, and we don't hold that against you, the fact that you're gay.
But
be insincere, person.
I'm not gay.
Well, that's not what Jonathan says.
I know. That's not.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's true.
There's not. And Bobby Boris Pickett isn't gay either.
No, he's not. And although, he's very, very talented. And
sure
timeless.
He is.
He is timeless.
She's learning.
Sure he is.
A Halloween classic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now, just us kids. You know he's a load, right? Come on, Batman. You know he's a load. I mean, it's good for our show. It was a good segment, but you know he's a load.
Okay, no, he's not.
To me,
he's not. Oh, I'm fighting it again. Yes,
you're
a load.
Yeah,
he'd be on
here with us.
That's right.
Come on, a load, Donovan.
You are so right, Don. That's what you're saying.
There you go. Now, how about him? Isn't he a pant load?
Oh, yes, Don, you're so right. He is.
Yeah, no, he's got a long way to go. No, yeah. Practice.
No. What is it your daughter said to you when you were acting like when you were working at the other radio station?
Oh, she said, well, Sherry McBride came out tonight.
Yes. Beth Ann was having an exchange with somebody here at the company about something, and I guess the side of her that used to work in another radio life came out.
Huh. Yeah. That was your radio name in another life?
Yeah.
And I believe that that is the evil side of Beth Ann.
Yeah.
The side that originally drew me to her as our 19th our 19th producer in 20 years.
The Mr. Hyde?
Yeah, that's right.
I believe Sherry did the interview that day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Sherry McBride was the one that was here, not Beth Ann McBride?
No, Beth Ann was there, but there were parts of Sherry there.
So,
have any of us seen the real Sherry yet?
Sherry McBride?
No, I don't think you have.
And what are the differences between Beth Ann McBride and Sherry McBride, besides the fact that I'm guessing from what you told me, from what your daughter told you, Sherry McBride is I don't want to say tougher, but harder around the edges? Would that be true?
Yeah. Sherry was a witch.
Sherry McBride.
She didn't even parade around as a tarot card reader. She was a witch.
Did Sherry McBride have a catchphrase?
Her way or the highway. I mean, I was really something else.
So I'm talking to the person inside Beth Ann.
So we're talking about when you were
from The Exorcist.
We're talking about when you were like on a morning show and you were what it was like. Was it he said, she said? Was it one of those deals?
It was what I said, what I thought, what I wanted to do.
It was all about you.
Does it sound familiar to you guys?
Well, now, Beth Ann, we encourage you to be that person on our show, on and off the air.
you know, up to a point.
Yeah, right, until you start to piss us off. Now, do you have a, is there a recognizable Sherry McBride voice as opposed to the Bethann McBride voice?
You'd have to ask,
ask Sherry.
Others, my daughter.
Your daughter?
Yeah.
I'd ask your daughter.
Could you bring Sherry out, like, under hypnosis?
Lurking underneath, I suppose you could. I've never really tried it.
Well, listen, the Sherry McBride in you knew that that thing that we just did with that load, that was good. That was, for our show, that was real good.
For your show, yes, it was.
Is there a...
It was very good.
Okay, but here's something that the Sherry McBride has to tell the Bethann McBride. The Sherry McBride has to tell the Bethann McBride that the Bethann McBride is working on Don and Mike's show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Does Sherry McBride love her dog as much as Bethann McBride?
Yes.
Does Sherry McBride love her dog more than she loves her daughter?
The same.
Is there a Sybil McBride?
No.
Are there any other characters besides Sherry and Bethann?
No, just I believe that Sherry was me, but it was just a part of me that was magnified because of the position I was in.
Do you ever bring Sherry out when times are stressful?
I think she needs to be brought out right now.
Yeah, really? Well, go ahead.
Bring her out. How you doing, Sherry? Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Wow.
How dare you, Mr. President?
Is there a Luke McBride? or a Lizzie? Lizzie McBride.
We got a break here. Just let me make one thing perfectly clear.
Hello.
Hi there. So it'll be Nancy O'Dell in the next break.
Right.
And listen, all kidding aside.
Yeah.
Never hang up on us on the air.
Okay?
Right.
Sorry.
That was Beth Ann. Beth Ann is back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sherry would have said, "I'll hang up on you anytime I want."
Damn it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. See you.
Okay. Bye.
Go ahead. Hang up.
Good luck. Hey, she did, but you told her to.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. We'll be... She's the greatest, isn't she? We'll be right back.
Yeah, she is.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You're being insincere.
To me, that's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the joint. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Charlie M.
Charlie M.
Pleased to be enjoying the Don and Mike Show.
Pleased to be enjoying now.
I just love this. Let this just play to the very beginning. Favorite song ever. Best rejoin our music ever. I hope Nancy didn't mind waiting 18 seconds. Nancy?
Hi, guys.
How have you been?
How have you been?
How have you been now?
Boy, you sound nice and crisp and clear today.
That's because I'm actually on a landline instead of a cell phone running to my next interview.
That is so much better. We won't keep you long. Here's Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood here in D.C., NBC4 tonight at 7:30. Everybody else around the country, check your local listings, please. Let's talk about Ashley. I don't know. Okay, tell me how you're going to cover it tonight. I got a story where she's saying, totally don't understand why everyone's fixated on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she actually told us on camera, she was on the Today Show the other day, she told us that, you know what, I didn't reveal my breasts, and I didn't kill anybody, so I don't understand what the big deal is. Which is kind of a good point.
Where do you line up on the theories that somebody said that, you know, maybe this situation was just staged because they knew it was going to get this kind of publicity?
I don't think it would be staged because it's not good publicity. I mean, if she wanted to do something else, then do have a wardrobe malfunction. You know, this doesn't make her look good.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I do think it happened by accident, but it's very true that everybody does lip sync performances.
You know, here's the thing, Nancy. When me and Mike used to play records, like when the Milli Vanilli thing happened,
right,
we did that thing. We went outside with a steamroller and ran over all their records and stuff. I mean, I don't know how many other DJs you talk to, but in Top 40 radio, where they actually play her records, is it mattering at all?
That we talked to an expert, a music expert, and they said no. The point, it is her voice.
Was it Scott Shannon?
It is her voice. It's just, when she came out there to sing, it was a tape recording of her voice, which happens a lot in these things. I think the situation has been made a little bit worse because her dad, came out and said that, it was acid reflux as to why she, needed the help with her voice, instead of just going, you know, a lot of times on these live shows, we do the lip sync because sometimes the audience is so loud, you can't really hear, you know, what is going on as well as you normally would, and you can't get the right pitch. And
well, they seem to panic a little bit, but I think in the long run, really, I subscribe to the fact that all publicity is good publicity. I really think in this case, she's getting her name out there. And,
it's true.
You know, I think she's going to be much better known than when this whole debacle began.
People are talking about it, and the music expert we talked to said, you know for sure that they're going to be checking her record sales and to see if this has given it an increase or a decrease. Because of this, a lot of people may be sampling her music that wouldn't have sampled it before.
Well, I know that I had never heard either of the songs that she had.
You know, I'm in entertainment.
And my question for you is seriously, I asked this yesterday of our audience, and nobody called, no doctor called. The story was that she got a cortisone shot in her back, in her lower back, before she did the show on Monday night from Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
How does that help acid reflux?
Yeah, I mean, what's that all about?
Well,
acid reflux can make you hoarse in your vocal cords. It can actually do some damage to your vocal cords.
Right.
And they can swell up because of the reason that I know this, I didn't have acid reflux, but I had laryngitis. I was supposed to host the Rose Parade one day. And at 4 a.m. wake-up call, and at midnight, a nurse was coming to give me the cortisone shot in my, it reduces your vocal cords.
All we've gotten right here is something that we were not able to get yesterday.
I had no idea. So they actually give you a cortisone shot in the back to
in the lower back.
In the bottom.
Okay. So they give you a cortisone shot in the bottom, and that's supposed to help your larynx?
Well, when your vocal cords swell up, they get too swollen, they're not rubbing against each other, is what my voice doctor told me, but ear, nose, throat guy. And when I went in, because I'm panicking, knowing I'm supposed to do this National Rose Parade on New Year's Day, and 2 days before I have no voice, and so he said, you know, let's give you 2 cortisone shots, one today and one tomorrow, and hopefully it'll reduce it. Unfortunately, it did not help, and I had laryngitis and couldn't do it. But, yes, it's supposed to decrease the swelling.
And, of course, for the next 3 days, you couldn't feel your legs.
Exactly. I'm telling you, in a court of public opinion, you have just been a valuable witness.
I agree. Yes.
Like I said, mine was not a result of acid reflux, so I don't know necessarily if it works
out.
But I assume that the irritation from the acid could make your vocal cords swell. Yeah.
All right.
That it would.
And listen, can I just say this? I've seen you on TV. I've never seen you, like, you stick your tongue out and look down your throat, but I bet that yours are swell as well. Your cords are swell.
How you mean?
Why is Julia Roberts in the hospital?
Well, she was experiencing early contractions. You know, she's 29 weeks pregnant.
Right.
She's 29 weeks along in her pregnancy with twins, which is not unexpected with twins to have early contractions. So according to our source, they put her on a fetal monitor, which just monitors how the babies are doing and how they're responding to their environment. And then they got the contractions stopped. They say it's not serious, but they're going to keep watching her really carefully because, you know, even though twins typically sometimes will come early, they don't, you know, want her to come yet at 29 weeks. But she's supposed to be doing okay, but she was unable to go to her baby shower on Sunday.
Now, do you have this on Access Hollywood? I got a picture from one of the tabloids of the guy who's her husband. Is it her husband, boyfriend? I don't know.
Danny, her husband.
He's wearing one of those ridiculous, those things that guys wear, the empathy belt is what they call it.
Oh, really?
I saw Regis wear this one time when Kathy Lee was pregnant.
You mean where he appears to be pregnant?
Yes, he's wearing it.
Oh,
he's wearing it.
No good can come of that.
You want to know what the weight is like?
Wow.
Yeah, to let him know what it's like. Anyway.
It's highly disturbing.
See, that's love.
Okay. Yeah,
now,
right.
And now listen, they're hitting us over the head with this, so we'll ask you, what was it like talking to Laura Bush?
You know what? I have to tell you that it was one of the best interviews I've ever done.
Why? Why? Really?
Because she was so kind, and the thing that I told you before going in, and I did ask her, I don't know if you saw, I asked her if she used, what kind of ketchup she used.
Oh, did you see that?
No,
I didn't. What was her answer?
It flustered her a little bit. She went, let's see, I'll have to ask the staff in there what they do. And I go, you want to answer? You should make a politician yourself. And then she goes, I was trying to think of any other name, but I couldn't think of anyone.
Kudos to you for asking the Heinz ketchup thing. That's very, very good.
It worked out perfectly because I had it in the back of my mind wanting to do it. And we were sitting there talking about, I got the tour of their ranch in Texas, in Crawford, Texas. And she was talking about the world leaders who had been there. And she said, you know, Putin's been there. And then she started talking about what she served them, and they try and serve them very American things. from that they had served them hamburgers one time out in the ranch, and I'm like, oh, what kind of captain did you use?
Good for you, Nancy.
She set me out perfectly. But it was such a great interview. She was just very down to earth, and I think revealed a lot of stuff. You know, it's Hollywood. It's entertainment, so we're not going to go in there and, you know, how do you feel about the war? You know, it's, you know, trying to reveal the personality side of somebody. Yeah.
Are you going to get Teresa, you think, before the election?
I don't know. You haven't seen. We were talking about that today. Teresa is not out and about very much.
Well, you know, if you do get Teresa, I think it might be the first opportunity with a celebrity to say, how have you been?
Nancy, go do what you have to do now. Accent Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's on your TV tonight, and that's Nancy O'Dell. And, you know, just turn, listen, do what I do with Access Hollywood. Okay. Just watch it with the sound off.
Oh, yeah.
That's a compliment.
I'll take the compliment, but I want you to hear what we have to say.
I watch it with closed captions.
That's what it's for.
Except when whenever Billy Bush speaks, it ends up being like, you know, the symbols for cursing that they use in comics?
Garbled ad signs.
Or it's like Chinese, where it's like pictures.
Even you would get all of the information that you need to know.
With Nancy, it's just all I keep seeing when that closed caption is, this woman is on your radio show.
And she's going, how have you been?
How have you been? All right, Nancy, thanks. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. All right. Good to talk to you.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I do that just for you. And for me, because I like to wear money. All right, honey.
It's a feeling of power.
But I do go home sometimes and look and just go, God.
She's on our show.
Boy, is she pretty.
Every day.
Man, she's pretty.
Hope she comes to Washington sometime so we can meet her.
She's pretty. And we ask questions about celebrities.
I didn't think you'd get the honey in this time. I thought you were cruising down the highway without having the honey.
And next time, I promise, I'll use my sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My sweet.
All right, so Ashley asked her about that. Yeah. Ashley Simpson.
Miss O'Dell has declined to appear.
Ashley Simpson wants to know, what's the deal, like, with everybody so caught up in me and this thing? And I have to say that I'm going to give Rob a little credit that I'm leaning towards his conspiracy theory, even though Nancy Yodel just said that she didn't think so.
Right.
I think that, in fact, it was made up.
It was a whole setup.
That
really.
That I'm willing to go with you, Rob.
She's in the spotlight.
This is her chicken of the sea moment.
And even if it wasn't set up, she could have let it die by now. So if she really feels that it should be let go, she should not have issued this press.
But kudos to Nancy O'Dell for the cortisone thing, because I had no idea they really do that.
I thought that was totally bullcrap.
I always thought like cortisone, like an injection, was a very local procedure where you put it on the knee or the elbow or wherever you really needed it. And, you know, you put it in your butt?
Yeah, cortisone.
Yeah. Cortisone.
I read about it in a magazine.
Cortisone. I can't feel my cheeks. So, anyway, shut up, Ashley. The one quote that I love from Ashley, and again, you know, color me guilty, AshleySimpson.net, where I'm getting my Ashley Simpson news. Here is the quote.
I'm reading the letters from the fans.
I want to make sure that, and incidentally, see if you can find which letters are mine.
Uh-huh.
I use a girl's name.
Oh, it's all the ones that say hang in there.
I use a girl's name, but I talk like a boy.
Hang in there, girlfriend.
Let me see. On her website today, I read this. Now, you would think that at this point, if she didn't want it to just go away, she would also say, this will never happen again. You will never catch me lip-syncing again. I make you this vow as long as I'm in music. This is what I read on her website today.
Okay.
I hope I never, ever, 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 ever have to use a guide vocal ever again.
Hope.
I don't think I would. Let me read that again.
Yes.
I hope that I never, ever, ever, ever have to use a guide vocal ever again. I don't think I would anyway.
I love those girls that pay attention to vocabulary.
And you know what that is? That's leaving the door open.
Sure.
To come back to this, you know, a couple of, like, her door's not open anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, come back to this after whatever these records are, don't sell, and she's not the flavor of the month.
Right.
Oh, speaking of flavor of the month.
Yes.
Who says that there's any hard feelings between us and Opie and Anthony, who have been relegated to satellite radio?
Oh, wait.
Okay? Right. today, somebody told me that they were making a TV appearance, and I want to promote it. They're going on the lowest-rated television show of all television shows, the John McEnroe Show, on CNBC, which last week in the Nielsen ratings received, Mr. Blutarsky, a 0.00 share.
Wow.
So I just wanted to say, hey.
It's still on, though, huh?
Well.
Is it still on?
It's arguable.
I don't know. I didn't turn it on this afternoon to see if they paid the light bill or not.
Right.
But anyway, that's the deal. So good luck to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good luck to good luck to them.
You would think he would have gotten a little spike when the Tatum O'Neal book came out.
You would think.
Not a chance.
Jesus Christ, I've got so much other great stuff, but I've got a tape that I have to play you of Artie from the Larry Sanders Show.
Ah, you sir, the finest man in show business.
Now, Rip Torn got pulled over for DUI.
Yes. You better get away from my car.
This is a tape that we're going to have to listen to a couple of times so you can dig on everything that he's saying.
Oh, very good.
This is from police surveillance.
Oh, really?
After Artie, Rip Torn,
right,
has been busted for DUI,
yes,
and he is inside the jail, and what they're trying to do is put handcuffs on him and get him ready for his mugshot or whatever's coming next.
And he's not being cooperative, not happy.
Please now to be listening.
What you do.
Okay,
go
here
to Rotterdam, then you go to Amsterdam, then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called
I don't give a damn.
Oh, you'll hear a lot of, you know, Artie's been drunk on the show before, and you'll hear a lot of that in this tape.
Makes him a great actor.
And there is one great noise a few seconds into it.
Okay.
It makes him a great actor if it sounds like the Larry Sanders Show, because he takes his real drunk and puts it in the show.
There's a bit of background noise. What he does is he stands up, and behind him he kicks his chair over. He's sore.
So anyway, this is not a fake tape.
No.
And you're going to have to listen to it a couple of times with us.
You mean he's angry, Rob?
It's surveillance. Yes. Here's Rip Torn trying to be booked for DUI.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all out of line.
Okay, you're all going to jail. You're all effing out of line.
You've been arrested for property in motor vehicle while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me. Okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
What he's going to say here is that
something about a taxi.
He was hit by a taxi. Okay.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh no, I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take the cuffs off.
Now he won't say anything until they take the cuffs off him.
I was hit by a taxi.
I'll replay this again after
it's
we go.
Exactly like he sounds on the. Yeah. And you ought to get that drunk tape of when he's on the Larry Sanders.
After we go past the bullet points, we'll listen again. I was hit by a taxi. You guys are nuts. Here we go. And don't put those handcuffs on me.
You know, I'm not going to say anything to you.
Have you introduced evidence?
I'm not going to say anything to you.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drink.
I have witnesses.
One and a half drink.
I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drinks.
Okay. Go to hell, you guys.
I act like a gentleman after you ask for coffee or nothing. Ow! Relax.
When he's going, ah!
Yeah.
They're trying to put the handcuffs on him.
Wow.
And that's him going, ah! And then here's his final couple of sentences.
Send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
Call my lawyer.
Wow.
I'm going to put you all in jail. I've not had the chance to call my lawyer.
My favorite is I have only had one and a half drinks.
Well, anyway, that is Rip Torn.
Rip Torn. Artie.
We want to thank Celebrity Justice for hooking us up with that tape.
Very good.
Here it is one more time now that you've heard all of the stuff to look for.
Now we listen to it uninterrupted?
Yes, here it is.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all out of line. Take my phone.
You've been arrested for property in motor vehicle while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi. I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take the stuff.
What's your name?
I'm not going to
say anything so you think this.
How many Jews is that in
Seattle? I won't say anything so you think this.
At any trial?
I have witnesses to what I drank one and a half drink.
Okay.
Go to hell, you guys. Take these cuffs off.
I act like a gentleman after you ask.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Arthur, what are you doing here?
I'm preparing to say goodbye.
No, come on, come on, come on.
It's Demerol, you ass, and tequila. It's a good mix.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line.
Anyway, Rip Torn.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Our best with him.
He was he was ripped that night.
Let's see. Oh, I don't have time. We'll save this stuff tomorrow about the... do you need to know that the top-earning dead celebrity? Can you guess?
Elvis.
Yeah, number one. Right. Elvis, number one. Number two is Charles Schulz, the Peanuts guy.
Sure.
Then you've got J.R.R. Tolkien.
Uh-huh.
Then you got John Lennon, Dr. Seuss, Marilyn Monroe, George Harrison, Irving Berlin, Bob Marley, and Jimi Hendrix. Those are your top 10 dead performers.
Hendrix is still there.
As far as what they're making.
And still dead.
I only have time for one feel good today, so I'll go right here.
I'll pick a good one.
Oh, it's the best one. Are you kidding? It's the one they screen. I turned my computer on today and it said, "You've got retard mail." Okay, so here we go. Get this tape ready.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Here, yes, it is.
Are you retarded?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
This is from Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow.
From Kansas City.
Nice
talk. Let me start over. A couple were arrested yesterday under a federal law banning involuntary servitude after 20 FBI agents surged two group homes in Newton, Kansas.
Hi, guys.
Now, there was, just so you know, there was like nothing bad sexual going on here.
Goodness. Were there eggs and potatoes?
There were no eggs and potatoes, Tom.
Potatoes.
However, the six mentally challenged people had been living in the homes for a long period of time and had been working. They had these people found guilty and arrested. The charge was, hold on, let me get the actual charge, because it's not what you, the charge is, oh, that's right, enslaving mentally retarded people.
Oh, so the people were, they had retarded people that they were making do their chores.
Yes,
and that's illegal.
Yes, they did. And
they were making them manufacture fake hips.
Oh, thank goodness.
And
for future implantation.
And anyway, let me see. This is just very sad that the two people have been charged with holding six mentally ill patients at group homes and making them work against their will. And all I have to say is that Infinity is looking into this now.
Of course. Because they're very embarrassed that this has been revealed.
Yes.
What's up, guys?
And they promise that.
Yep.
They promise they won't do it again.
All of our stations in Kansas City start looking for new salespeople.
Very, very sad about it.
What's up, guys?
I don't know, Tom.
Phone scan now.
One and a half drinks.
Let's get these lines going. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. From Canada, 800-636-1067.
You guys are all going to jail. And you are all out of line. Take my customer. You've been arrested for operating motor vehicle while in
phone scan here.
I was hit by a taxi. You need to listen to me right now. Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I was not.
No, we don't know if you're hit by a taxi or not.
Sir. I was hit by a taxi.
From America, 877-365-3636. Canada and Mexico, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067.
Bring it.
Your calls on the phone scanner is straight ahead.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to be connected. I want to be part of the loop.
It's taken us 8 years to totally disconnect you the way you always wanted to be. So keep this in mind. If I connect you, you will be connected.
Fine. Then connect me.
Fine. Connected you will be.
Good. Hey, Artie?
Yeah.
Do you ever notice that we get caught up in a certain kind of thought process?
Thought process?
Yeah, thought process.
What thought process?
Like the thought process we're involved in right now. I think we should try and catch it, put a stop to it.
Fine, and stop it we shall do.
Good.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all f***ing out of line. Save my customers.
You've been arrested for operating moving vehicles while in the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
The Don and Mike Show.
By a taxi, don't you know?
Gotta buy a taxi.
Half of light and half of dark. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Here's our toll-free number, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. In Washington, D.C., there's always those special lines that are open at 202-432-1067. This is where we take live phone calls. They are unscreened, hence the rotating random phone scan. And you are voiced. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio Joe.
Howdy.
Hey, there's some little fat girl out there crying right now because you stole the title of Worst TV Show Ever from her and gave it to John Frickin' McEnroe, man.
What little fat girls cry? Oh, you're talking about Leah Remini?
Lisa Remini, yes.
You know what? Little fat girls. You know what that would be? That would be a thinking man's, yes.
Thank you, my buddy.
And do remember, there was a show that John McEnroe beat 3 weeks ago.
What was it?
How to Boil Water.
That's right, on the Food Network.
Not a joke.
Very true. Thank you, my friend. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Hey, you're on the air.
I'd like to say congratulations to Mike and everything that's going on in his life. And
that's a wonderful way to put it. Mike's in love, and the Red Sox are going to win the World Series tonight.
Hold on, I'm going to toot my own horn.
Yes.
And I won a golf championship today. I won a match play golf championship today at my home course, and I am thrilled today. And the show's
bravo, bravo.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm very happy about that. Thank you. Hail to me, GB.
Golden Boy. Won the tournament out at his Rich Guy Golf Club.
Yeah, I did. I'm very proud of that. I really am. And I, you know, I don't want to appear too snobby, but I really did get a chance to meet some of those people.
And
that makes it extra sweet. Do you think they think less of me though when I'm out there and, like, I win and I just go, you.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
You mentioned you had a problem with your dog.
Well, it's not my dog.
It's his girlfriend's dog.
Yeah, and the dog had diarrhea, and we figured out because the dog,
Golden Boy,
is chewing
broccoli.
What?
He's eating broccoli.
Yes,
broccoli.
Second time right. I've heard that. Once off the air. That was a Joe Ardinger joke.
Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a physician. I just wanted to comment on the steroid injection.
Good. Okay, well, Nancy O'Dell kind of told us that if you got cortisone shots in your ass, it would help with your voice.
Yeah, I mean, normally we give them as pills, but you could do it that way, and it would certainly get in faster. And, right. And steroids are a real good anti-inflammatory, no question about it.
Right, I was certainly intrigued.
Thank you, Doctor. One day late.
I was intrigued when Nancy was telling us the story.
Yeah, so was I.
Just based on how she got the shot.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty. Mm-hmm. I would like to be that needle. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yankee Stone, Red Sox Blues, Michael knows, the Bambino's cat. And I think to myself, Michael.
To this guy.
Man, so much
long
time. Playing.
Oh, a long time since that guy's called that. That guy used to be a regular caller.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it going on tonight, Mike. I'm telling you, big Red Sox victory.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I don't want to say anything.
Well, you should just be calm.
I think I should just shut up.
Be calm, Grasshopper. Be happy.
I am going to be calm and happy. I'm not going to be like I was a week ago.
It's going to happen.
When it was the seventh game against the Yankees, and I was literally somebody said I looked pale, and I was perspiring. And
tonight.
Even more so than I normally would.
Yeah, I was going to say, when was that a photo shoot?
Thanks. That's nice.
Hello.
That's really nice.
Hello.
Okay, George Hamilton. I'm sorry that I was like a chubby checker.
It's a natural tan. At least mine's not fake.
I didn't have a fake tan. I haven't tanned for years.
Hello.
Months.
Hello.
Weeks.
Hey, Don, Mike?
Yeah, we are. Right
hey,
there.
Just wanted to give you a congratulatory shout-out, Mike.
Yeah, all right.
All the Bo Sox fans up here in Canada.
All right.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, boo.
All right. I want to go on record as saying I'm not happy.
Why are you not happy now?
Just because it's better that way. It's better when I'm not happy.
Oh, with the Red Sox, you mean?
I'm just not happy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. I got a question for Mike.
What?
He's not happy.
I'm not happy.
No, that's okay. Right. If you would rather see the Red Sox win in St. Louis or in Boston?
I'd rather see it win St. Louis. I'd rather see him win tonight.
If they
didn't win tonight, I'd rather see them win tomorrow night.
Thank you.
And if it goes down to game 7, I'll be hot and sweaty, but it doesn't matter because I look that way during the photo shoot.
Captain Obvious. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You notice I'm not even firing back.
No.
You know why? Because I'm looking at my buddy who's in love. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's not going to work anymore.
And
yay,
not happy.
That's not going to work anymore.
Yeah, I know it still works.
No, it's not.
Yes, it does.
No.
Mike loves Carla. He said so on the radio. Mike loves his girlfriend.
All right.
Said okay. So on the radio. See, right. It works.
Okay, stop.
Hello? Okay.
Stop it.
I am. Just prove it works.
All right.
Hello?
Hey, gentlemen.
Yeah,
moment
hi.
Of weakness. Never let your guard down.
You know what?
Never let your guard down, little broadcasters.
What you do, you let
never show happiness on this show.
You let people in. You let people in. You let people know that you're happy, that you love your girlfriend.
You guys taking bets on when Mike's going to meet his final demise?
My final demise?
Yeah.
Not on my watch, my friend.
What does that mean?
You're so happy now. You're on the high. That it's got to end.
I see.
No, it doesn't.
So you think that actually things are so good that it will eventually result in my death?
It has to.
Only one way to go from here.
Now listen, I want to say,
what a cheery thought that is.
Being an observer of the life of Mike O'Meara, mm-hmm. Mike's been on a thrill ride for the last couple of years.
I have not.
That's not really.
No, I have not. Not in the last couple of years.
I'm talking about the stuff that happened before you met Carla.
Okay, you mean like an up and down?
Yes.
Yeah,
what I'm saying. You're on a thrill ride, one of those things where your stomach is
excuse me, I'm being defensive. You can understand that. I'm being defensive. Yes, you're right about
that. You're being defensive because you're in love.
Is that why my arms are folded?
Yes, it is.
Just so?
Yes, it is.
And the whole in love thing, it's just like, is open the doors. Arrow shooter.
Call me Cupid.
Yeah, right.
But listen.
See, I even set you up for that one.
Who's to begrudge this man his happiness? Who's to begrudge him?
Not us.
He's been on. Anybody's been
on
the
I came in today in the most phenomenal mood. I was so psyched about the Red Sox and this golf tournament, and I was really, really happy. And that's all gone now.
Oh, that's. Oh, yeah.
That's
excuse
all
me. I've ruined that now for
that's
you. You're
all,
not
yeah,
happy
you,
now?
Yeah, you've killed it.
Yeah.
You've ruined it.
BS.
You've ruined my life.
BS.
You have ruined my life.
I have not ruined your life. And don't fold your arms when you're talking.
I feel like it.
Don't.
I'm feeling sweaty.
Fold mine. Fold mine.
No, you can't see. You won't be able to. I could sit and do the whole show like this. You couldn't. You have to talk with your hands.
Push buttons.
You're a hand talker. Hand talkers can't laugh.
That's right.
Don't do that.
Now that was brotherly. That wasn't like
happy.
I gave Mike the double pumper.
I understand.
I can talk with my hands.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Come on.
Everything's great.
You're going to be so happy tonight when I call you.
I'll be euphoric.
After they win tonight, I am going to call you.
It's still, and please don't mock me for this. There's still, you know, here's the way I'm looking at it. Am I going to be relaxed watching the game? Yeah, I'm going to be relaxed, not like I was a week ago. But still, you have to remember who you're dealing with here.
I know.
You are dealing with fatalistic fans. You're dealing with people that the reality, the idea of the great collapse after the great comeback is a very real situation.
You know what?
I'm not the one doing that either. Would you not agree that the media, especially like you've got the ESPNs, the analysts, even Tim McCarver?
Well, that's all they've got.
And Joe Buck? Yeah, that's all they got.
That's all they got. Otherwise, they got a blowout series.
And I'm saying that puts probably a little more pressure than normal. Because of the fact that they came back 3 games down, that puts just a little bit more pressure on them when they're 3 games up.
I understand that.
Don't do what you did to the Yankees. That's the attitude that a lot of us
I know.
Have.
A lot of people are waiting for the Red Sox to collapse. And you know what we get?
I don't know. Seriously, when it comes to the Red Sox, and this is the truth, I don't know how to feel right now because just like that documentary, The Curse of the Bambino, I'm sitting here waiting for this to happen. And then you know, if it does happen,
you know, there's going to be
the quest is over.
There's going to be a nation of people who are now no longer going to be able to come to their friends and go, you think you got it tough?
Yeah, you can't come in and say you will no longer be able to say, hey, how'd you like to be a Red Sox fan?
Yeah, cause it'd be great to be a Red
Sox
fan.
You know what? I don't mind that at all.
You know what will get you through tonight?
I know what's going to get me through tonight.
Well, besides that,
yeah,
the love of a good young woman.
You ass.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, man.
You got to be one of your favorite asses.
Yes,
right?
You are.
Come on. You're one of my favorite asses.
Yes, it's a brotherly ass.
Yes, it is. Hello, Don and Mike.
Silly brotherly ass.
Hello, SBA. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Michael. I have a question for you.
I will not respond. Hey, he doesn't like that.
He doesn't like Michael.
And I think today I can make that call.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And why not? You're 45 and you're in love.
You remember the 45 part?
You're in love for the first time.
And that was Dr. Capers, wasn't it? The yep. 45 thing that you remembered.
Yeah.
He remembers everything during the show.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
How are you guys?
How have you been? What can we do for you?
Yes, how have you been? You guys are outrageous. You know, I've had
yes,
to watch a lot
outrageous.
this last
shock,
week.
Shock jockery at its finest.
That's right.
You guys are outrageous. I've had to work a lot this week.
Push the envelope. Damn, we lick it and then we rip it in half.
Mm-hmm. And
shock jockery.
If someone were to say you were outrageous, would you?
Would you? Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that and that. In the past week, I've had to work a lot, and I haven't put down any money for a job, for a radio on the job, and I've missed you guys so much.
What?
Okay. Whatever. Right. Thank you for checking in. Another captain of industry.
I think he's probably a doctor.
Hello.
For English, press 1.
Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
For retard, press 2.
Hello.
Hey, how are you anyway? Yeah.
Hi.
What's up? You remember when Bill O'Reilly was on there the other day and he was giving out all kinds of merchandise?
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
I remember that.
Did Beth Ann get a No Spin Zone song by any chance?
Oh, that was all for Beth Ann's
for
song.
Beth Ann.
That's the whole thing was
right.
Just to talk about her with the thong.
Get out of here.
Find out if she's thonged up.
Hello.
And dreaming.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks a lot. I just wanted to let you guys know that the final spin for the Wheel of Gluttony happens on Friday, October 29th on 102.1, The Edge, the Dean Blundell Show.
The Dean Blundell, the what?
The
Dean Blundell Show.
No idea what you're talking about.
Who is Dean? What a name, though. Who is Dean Blundell?
The spin for the Wheel of Gluttony happens on...
No. Hold on. We got that. But who is Dean Blundell?
Robbie?
We know you're giving him a plug.
Trying to plug some other DJ, but here's the thing. We don't know who he is.
And oh.
Yeah,
that's all right. It's a DJ in Toronto.
Dean Blundell.
Well, good for him, because whenever a disc jockey does anything that has Wheel of next to it,
uh-huh.
That means it's going to be groundbreaking.
The Wheel of Gluttony with the final seven.
Yeah.
I just want to say on behalf of Howard Stern, how dare you steal that?
Okay?
How dare you steal that?
Wheel of Gluttony.
How dare you? Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, and I heard on the web thing of Howard Stern on with the FCC guy yesterday.
Yes, so did
he's
I.
He's still around? Yeah. You know, I wish... here's the thing. I wish Howard would have done a better job of saying what's screwed up with the FCC.
Yeah.
Rather than attack him for, you know, his dad having gotten the job, which is not true. You know, I wish... And I know why Howard didn't ask the tough questions, because he's leaving this medium.
Right.
The question would really be, if you had the commissioner of the FCC, how come you don't have a rule for everybody? How come you don't have black and white, this is right, this is wrong?
You talk about a rule book. Give us a rule book. Right. Give us the guidelines. That's never really been done.
Nope.
That's what I wish. I was so hoping that he would say that. And, you know, was it good theater? Absolutely, it was good theater. But outside of that, I would have liked to have just, you know, at the time, really, and I'll say this about Howard, I was thinking when I first started hearing this, here's an opportunity for him to come on with the commissioner of the FCC, kind of speak for everybody that's been in this situation, and instead it was
a commercial for him going to satellite radio.
And it was that personal attack about your dad got you the job, and I'm like, come on,
hey, but look,
get a little deeper.
Don't you know where he's coming from on this? I don't want to get into this, but
what's your take?
Is it not obvious? what's going on here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one day they say don't say the name of the satellite company, so then they delete it out. Then they say don't say satellite radio, and they delete that out. And,
yeah.
And he's getting all of this press, and it's like a commercial for what's going on. I mean, John, I'd do the same thing if I was him.
Sure.
I'd do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reading here. What did I read today? Hold on, what's this thing?
How long can this go on?
Yeah, right. Well, go on for a while.
But I just wanted to hear when he really, you know, the real questions asked.
Sure.
About, you know, where's the roadmap?
An opportunity, you know, missed.
Instead of just this randomly, you know, throwing these fines out whenever they see fit.
You know, I don't.
Why not give us some real standards here?
I thought he came off as a crank caller. I mean, I heard the download of him on with KGO in San Francisco.
He went back to the Colin Powell thing, the daddy got you the job thing, which is fine. I'd use that as something that you would end the conversation. Well, he seemed to go back to it three times.
Yeah.
And the third time, I was like, man, there's so many more issues.
Here's two headlines. First, Howard Stern glories in the attention from yesterday's KGO face-off with FCC Chairman Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next story is, would Sirius buy out Howard Stern's last 14 months at Infinity?
Yeah, see
if you can connect the dots here.
Yeah, it feels a little manipulative, doesn't it?
See if you can connect.
It really does feel.
Dots.
Are we being played? Maybe.
And, you know, just on behalf of those of us that will be left behind with the FCC sometime in the next 14 months or sooner, it would have been nice if you would have just asked, you know, hey, what's the deal?
Yeah.
Because that's the bottom question,
right.
The bottom line that all broadcasters want to know now, what's right, what's not right.
I will give a heads up, a kudos to the host of that show out in San Francisco. I don't know what the guy's name is, but I thought the guy handled it as well as he could.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, you know, you don't even know. I'm suspicious of everything, whether it was just a 100% setup, whether this disc jockey out in San Francisco knew 2 hours before he was going on the air that the whole thing was going to happen.
Right.
You never know.
Don't know.
Trust no one in this medium.
All I know is that everybody started talking about it yesterday. I went to the web and I heard it, and I thought, well, great, it's a chance for Howard Stern to interrogate this guy. And, you know, all he ended up doing was it's a shock, you know, covering Howard Stern's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's fine. You know, I would do it, too.
Yeah, sure.
I would do it, too. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I had another job somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
I'd spend every second telling you that I have another job.
I thought for just a second when I first started listening
and
to
I'd
it.
And I'd like to announce.
Here's the big announcement right now.
That starting Monday,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing middays at Hot 99.5. I'm goddamned excited. I love the music.
Sure.
I love the energy.
May. I thought for just a second that maybe he would kind of speak for everybody.
Yeah,
but
no.
That's going to be a little too
didn't,
much.
Didn't happen.
Dream on.
But he got what he wanted out of it, which is tons of publicity.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody knows that he's going to be leaving soon.
Yeah.
You know, even though they don't want us to say that.
No.
Come on. Were they going to delete that out that we say it?
He knows how to get publicity.
He sure does.
Ask Opie and Anthony.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Who?
Hello. I saw them on John McEnroe.
John today. Mike?
when I was watching food boil, or watching water boil, excuse me, on the Food Network. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, this radio thing, it's crazy.
It is.
What can we do for you?
It puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose again.
All right, thank you very much. Hello, Don and Mike Show. An accurate statement.
And Halloween coming up.
Don't need to even address or debate it.
It puts the lotion on its body or else it gets the hose again.
Don and Mike
I believe
Show.
That is the proper quote from
it
the
is, yes. Hello.
Hey, baby.
Hi there.
Hi, I would like to ask you, Mr. Mike, who would you rather see win, or who would you rather have win, Kerry or the Red Sox?
That is an extraordinarily difficult question.
A great one, though. Answer it.
It is. My brother-in-law and
please,
I...
Pleased to be answering.
My brother-in-law up in Boston, who's a lifelong Democrat.
I'm not flip-flopping.
I'm not flip-flopping.
Just please do answer.
We had this discussion, and...
Which would you like more?
I'm not taking responsibility for the whole election.
It's your opinion. Which would you like more?
If it was 2-1?
Which would you enjoy more? Forget it. If it was 3-3, which would you enjoy more? Red Sox winning the World Series or Kerry winning the election? That's a simple question.
Thank you.
Which would you enjoy more?
I'd enjoy Kerry winning the election more.
There you
wow,
go. Stand-up guy.
Thank you. That was my question.
It's a great personal sacrifice.
You know why he was
Thank
able
you,
to answer that?
Because
he's in love.
And happy.
Congratulations on being in love.
There you go. Thank you, honey.
All right.
Bye-bye.
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 Go Skins!
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Are we going to take it to that now? Because I'm ready for that. I don't know if you noticed or not. I've worn Packer clothes
I know
every
you
day
have.
This week.
It's not lost on me.
Every
See,
day.
I notice details, too. I know you think I flit in here and flit out. I pay attention to occasional details.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey,
Oh, incidentally, about my last answer?
Yes.
I might be lying. You might be insincere.
What can we do for you?
Mike's got nothing to worry about. I called you at the beginning of the season, and it's because of Boston Rob that the Red Sox are going to win the series.
Oh, that's horrible. Right. Don't bring him into it.
You are retarded. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's all of
us. Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that you sound like you smell terrific. May you each live 1,000 years. And I hope you both enjoy a mozzarella sandwich tonight.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
A lovely compliment.
Three blessings. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, that Rip Torn tape had to be the funniest thing I've heard. And I couldn't tell you how long.
I would.
How old is that? How long ago was Rip Torn?
3 days.
Yeah. 3 days ago.
A few days ago. It's pretty fresh. You got it, Robbie?
Yeah, but the tape was made in January.
Oh, it was, okay.
Oh, so it just came out
just
now.
Just released, yeah.
Just released, but it was recorded in January.
January.
I almost had to pull over.
You guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line. Save my phone. You've been arrested for property in motor vehicles while in the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know.
It's the best.
I was in my taxi.
You're right. And listen, you're the last person on the phone scan. What is your name? Any idea?
Yes, Mike.
Mike, where are you from?
Chantilly, Virginia.
All right, Mike, here you go. Tickets to go see Lewis Black. He's funny. Monday night before the election, that'll be a good show. He's on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It's Lewis Black at the Improv here in D.C. on Monday, November 1st. Enjoy, please.
Thank you.
That's a good show. He's funny. Thank you. Hold on a moment.
Thank you.
It was Monday that we did? We're very big on equal time on this show, in case you haven't noticed.
Earlier this week.
Monday on the show, we gave President Bush some time.
Yes,
right?
We did. Yes, most
then
definitely.
On the show, we will give his opponent some time.
Yeah, he's exhausted from being on the campaign trail.
Sure. Are we going to do it again with the bolts in the neck? I hope.
Sure. Of course.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
If the tariffs and barriers everywhere are torn down, our economy will be strong.
Karen is with us, a West Texas girl, just like me. Ticket counters and airplanes will fly out of Ronald Reagan Airport. Good evening.
Hi.
And before I take your questions, let me speak with the American people about the situation in Iraq.
Okay.
This has been tough weeks in that country.
What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
They can ruin a perfectly good quiet. Don and Mike.
We sure can. Just had to mention something. Everybody I know gets pissed at this, and I wish they'd stop it. We just played a commercial during our local WJFK thing for TBS.
Right.
Fine TV station. Nothing wrong with it.
Sure.
They got an ad that they run that's like, what's funny, or it's always funny, TBS, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
They ran it when Fred and I went to the movies this weekend. They're running now so many ads in the theater.
Yes.
When you go to see a movie, you pay your $11. I don't want to see an ad for TBS. I don't want to see an ad for The Simpsons. I don't want to see an ad for a soda. I don't want to see an ad for Levitra. I don't want to see an ad for sneakers. Okay? I'll sit through the crap before the movie starts. You know, the slides.
The slides of the local merchants?
Yeah, that I'll sit through.
That's all right. I like that.
And I don't buy into it, but I laugh at the premise where it says, over 2 million eyes have seen this ad this month alone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Because they're all the ads are like for loser dentist office and like thrift shops. Uh-huh. That's okay.
Fine restaurants.
And the G. Gordon Liddy show. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I'm not kidding. But
there's my slide.
Oh, really? Come on. I know it's a thing that started in Europe. Stephen King actually wrote something real funny about this topic.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of rants in Entertainment.
In that Entertainment This Week magazine. But I just thought of that with that TBS commercial. Yeah. And here's why. When we went to see Team America, which I totally recommend again, funny, really funny. We were sitting in the theater, and when they were running the commercials, the commercial for TBS came on, which is not a really funny TV commercial, but the guy behind us was laughing as if he was seeing Animal House. So that was the first sign, I guess, in that
regard. Basically accepting the ad that was being thrust down his throat.
And not only accepting it, yes, embracing it, and that was the sign I said to Frida, I think it's a good idea we move. She said, why? These are good seats. I said, the guy behind us is laughing out loud.
Could be an undum.
At a commercial for TBS. Anyway, thank you.
Now, I love these ads.
Now, let's see. 2 days ago, we had on George W.
Yes.
Today, we'll have on Senator John Kerry. We're not exactly sure where he's joining us from. It's somewhere on the campaign trail.
Right.
And I think... Okay, there we go. Now we're getting...
He's driving up now.
He's going to talk to him on his bus, I think. I think he still has the echo, though, from the giving the speech. Let's check in now.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Americans, I'm John Kerry, and Americans are looking for important things in this election. Health care, a secure country where they can feel safe, and, of course, the best president for the job, who will hunt down and kill the terrorists. I'm John Kerry, and I'm the president for you to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm very excited about this week for a variety of reasons.
Why?
Well, Theresa and I have spent many, many weeks on the campaign trail, but I'm more excited about one other thing than this election.
What's that?
It's Halloween.
Yes.
And it's the one time of the year that I can remove this painful makeup that I have to wear on the campaign trail, this flesh-colored makeup, and reveal who I really am.
Oh, are you going to do like Tom Cruise at Mission Impossible? You going to take your mask off?
I shall endeavor to secure votes of all angry villagers with torches and pitchforks. I am feeling totally refreshed and invigorated due to a thunderstorm last night that caused the electricity to pour into my bed and recharge me. And I'm feeling very good about this election. The poll numbers are good. Everything's good.
Hey, the bolts,
good.
The bolts in your neck look pretty good today.
That's right. And during the Halloween season, you can walk down the street, as Blaise and I often do, with the bolts in my neck and the scar on my forehead and my giant oversized Herman Munster shoes. And I can look at all my constituents and say, yes, I'm John Kerry. Yes, I'm running for president. And yes, I look exactly like Frankenstein. I'm very happy to be with you, Don. I'm very happy. And as a matter of fact, we'll be continuing our satellite link as I fire up the John Kerry bus. Turn that engine on and let's get going again. There we go.
Hold on a second.
Wonderful.
Hold on. That was my three sons.
Yes, that's my three sons.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Let's fire up the bus again.
No,
that's incorrect. That's the song that plays when I'm at the Kerry Mansion.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Let's
this is
start
the
of your...
Yes. Here we are. Away we go, boys. As we're driving along the highways and byways, I've been through all the great states of this union. And people have told me... But I am well rested. My bus has a comfortable reclining board. I'm very, very happy. So are all my constituents and my assistants on the bus.
How's Eddie Munster doing?
Eddie's doing great. He's sitting here at my knee wearing his short pants.
Which Patrick?
Which Patrick doing a wonderful job of. Who's this normal-looking girl here?
Oh, that would be Marilyn Munster.
Marilyn. Oh, she feels quite out of place here. Happy Halloween.
Now, if you could, would you turn on your video link? I would love to see you take off the mask.
All right, I'll take it off for you. As a matter of fact, I'm relaxing
turn on
the bus.
Let me get the video link
turn
going
on
here.
The normal John Kerry face.
Okay, I've got... I can see you
and
now.
You'll see.
Ah!
Oh. Don't worry, Don. It's just me, John Kerry.
Put the mask.
Nothing. No need to worry.
You look just like Frankenstein.
My campaign strategists are hard at work in Grandpa's laboratory right now. Let me pull back on my John Kerry face.
Do, because, wow.
You are. Here I am, Red Sox fan.
That's
right
much
here.
Better.
What do you think of that?
You look better.
But I'll tell you, Americans are tired of the same old, and as I travel around the country, I realize that each and every American has the right and the blah, 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 blah.
Would you do me a favor?
Hot food. What?
If just for our listeners.
Yes.
If we played like some scary Halloween music.
Sure.
Would you? I know it's not a stretch to ask you this. Would you act like Frankenstein for about 15 or 20 seconds for us?
Don, if I can get the last few undecided voters to go to the polls on election day, I would be happy to recreate the classic horror film Frankenstein,
yay,
which I'm sure many of you saw. I, John Kerry, will now do that for you.
Okay, here you go. Oh, hold on, wrong music. That's your car music.
Yes, that's all it requires. In order to do a proper Frankenstein, first of all, you have to look like me. Yes, each and every Halloween, it was never necessary in the Kerry household for me to go down to the local costume store. I simply shed my normal trappings, my business suits, my Timberland jacket that I like to wear, and I call it my lucky jacket. I slip into a too small gray sport coat, don a black T-shirt, and simply wipe away this flesh-colored makeup to reveal the true self.
And, of course, on your jacket, the sleeves have to be too short.
Yes, actually about 6 inches on each sleeve. You'll notice that. And then, of course, what I like to call my comfortable walking shoes. The shoes that I wear almost every day when I'm on my ranch. I wear these wonderful, oversized black boots. About 8 inches thick at the base. And I walk through, and I basically look for little animals to throw into wells each and every day. I say, I'm John Kerry, and I'm throwing you down a well, little girl.
And you know, when you wear your Red Sox hat like you're wearing now,
yeah,
you look very much like Herman Munster in that episode where Herman tried out for the L.A. Dodgers.
Well, you'll notice that this Red Sox hat that I wear proudly, being from the great state of Massachusetts, is having a great deal of difficulty staying on my head. Because it simply sits up there. It is simply too small to fit on my head. My head is completely square. It has 4 points up on the top. And you'll notice that the hair actually combs down in front in a greasy, matted mess.
I noticed
that. And if I'll show you my wrists right now, I'll show these to the video camera, you'll see that these are clean sewn on. That's right. John Kerry's hands, legs, and also most of my other body parts sewn on rather roughly with twine.
Nice.
My campaign strategists are very excited to celebrate my victory. I'll spend a day in an abandoned Austrian windmill. It should be fun. And then later in the day, as I'm celebrating the inauguration, the villagers will awaken and realize that they've elected Frankenstein as their next president. They'll storm up a hill. The crowd will get more and more frenzied as they get closer and closer to the abandoned windmill. And suddenly I will fall, a terrible fall, as I catch fire and fall to my death. But no, the undead live. Fear not for me. I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
Now, we had Bush on a couple of days ago.
How is Dan Dummy?
And we gave him a chance. Well, you know, he's slow like always.
I'm having dinner with Bobby Pickett. Bobby Boris Pickett.
I hope you're insincere with him.
Yes, I will be totally insincere. And I only wish that the great Dick Cheney would replace himself with another Cheney. I'm talking, of course, about Lon Cheney. One of the truly great ones. I'm John Kerry, and I'm excited. I'm excited about the prospect of winning the White House. Because when I win the White House, we will have a wonderful, wonderful inauguration. I will bring people in that you've never seen at an inaugural celebration.
I bet.
Wolfman, Dracula, Bride of Frankenstein, and I'm not talking about Teresa. No, I'm talking about all the wonderful characters. I might even bring some of the newer kids along.
Like who?
Like Freddy Krueger, Jason from Friday the 13th.
All right.
I'd look forward to Mike Myers with his white mask that he surprised Jamie Lee Curtis with. And all the horror characters. Yes, as a matter of fact, you can rest assured, my citizens, in the event that you elect John Kerry president, it will be Halloween 365 days of year. I will staff my cabinet with individuals who resemble horror monsters from all over the movies. Luckily, Dr. Pretorius stitched together my bride. Dr. Pretorius. Now, thank you for that one.
John Kerry, we want to...
Yes, John Geronimo.
Thank you for coming by the show. I want you to know that most everyone is predicting the tightest race ever.
The tightest race, absolutely. The tightest race will be tighter than this jacket fits on me.
I think you could probably really help your cause here if you would...
I've only eaten candy corn for 17 months. Very, very difficult. All you can eat is that miserable, waxy Halloween candy. It's not easy being John Kerry.
Maybe there's some...
Someone has said, why do you have that wonderful tan on the campaign trail? Well, it's a result of eating bag after bag of candy corn on the campaign plane.
You know what? What if there's a mom or a dad out driving right now listening to our show?
John Edwards' wife stole a bag of candy corn from me, and I threw her into a well.
Would you just say, maybe like as a subliminal thing,
yes,
to the kids,
yes,
you know?
The children, yes, the kids. Who's looking out for the kids?
This is Frankenstein. Get your mommy and daddy to vote for John Kerry.
Of course.
Okay, here we go. So let me just cue up some scary music and say now, moms and dads, turn up the radio, because it's time for Frankenstein.
Well, moms and dads, this is John Kerry. You might know me as Frankenstein. I urge all of you to run out to the polls this Halloween, actually the day after. Yes, it's no secret that 2 days after Halloween will be the presidential election. When you pull that lever, don't be scared, kids. Be like me, John Kerry. Stomp into your local election booth and pull the handle with your big stitched-on hand. For John Kerry for president. I get excited about spooky jack-o'-lanterns and candy corn. But remember, as I said to John Edwards' wife the other day, don't steal my Halloween candy. You don't need any more, Patty.
What about a message for the kids, you monster?
Kids, here's a message for you. The parents will like this, I'm sure. Fire. Bad. Food. Good. Thank you. I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty. Time for me to drive away on my bus right now.
Okay,
Grandpa's waking up from his nap. Should be a lot of fun. This is delightful. I've got to go see my dragon under the stairs.
Okay. Bye, John Kerry.
There he goes. Wow.
And John Kerry live from the campaign trail.
That was scary when he took off the mask. So that's makeup that he wears.
Yeah, just like in that movie Mission Impossible.
I don't get it.
With Tom Cruise.
I just don't get it.
The thing where he pulled off the mask and it wasn't John Voight. It was really Tom Cruise all along.
Scared.
Oh. Scared, kids?
Uh-huh.
La-la-la-la-la-la.
Oh.
Tra-la. Oh, 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 tra-la.
That's scary, huh? That's the best one.
Oh. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
How you doing?
That was great.
Thank you.
Also great.
Finally found my niche.
Was that scary?
You know, when you guys do falsetto voices, I have to ask, Buzz, can you howl?
I can't. I have no falsetto. I've lost my falsetto.
Sure, you can howl?
It doesn't go any higher than that.
Of course it
can. I'll do it, then Mike does it. Okay. Or Mike, you're the best. You do it first.
Then well, you do it in your own way, and I'll do it, and then we'll see if Buzz will go right across the room here.
Fair enough. Ow.
And this is the Count Floyd howl that I'll do.
Ow. Robbie?
Ow.
Buzz?
Ow.
It doesn't go any higher than that.
Said I wish we had.
Well done.
I wish we had that.
I warned you. I lost my falsetto. It must be around here somewhere.
There's a different one. Not this. Not the wah, 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 wah.
When they go swap, swap, wah, wah.
Yeah, they've been playing
swap, 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 wah.
No,
that would work too.
That's not bad.
That's the Price is Right.
That's closer.
One more time.
Okay.
Oh.
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 Buzz.
Oh.
Better luck next year.
I'll never be popular now.
What's the news and comments today? What's your lead story, Buzz?
Today, what isn't the government telling us about the flu vaccine shortage?
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah. A Teresa.
You ever suck the jelly out of the jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
You You don't have to be an idiot to understand Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
It helps. Time for Buzz's News and Comment now. And here is Guy J. Birdley. Oh, Buzz, you're not sponsored tonight.
No.
I hate to miss an opportunity for the station and all of our stations. And let me say tonight's News and Comment is brought to you by Rip Torn.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all f***ing out of line. Say my thoughts.
Brought to you by Rip Torn, who was hit by a taxi.
Yes, yes. So he says
at point. And only had one and a half drinks.
What? That's right.
And a half.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The Bush administration has been refusing to release information about the shortage of flu vaccine, according to a top Democrat in the House of Representatives. Congressman Henry Waxman of California also says the administration is waiting until after the election to release this information.
You got to be kidding me.
Waxman is the top Democrat on the House Committee on Government Reform. Quoting him, these documents should be released immediately.
I don't know if this is telling it all, but my kids went in and got their flu shots today. No problem, from the pediatrician.
Really?
Excellent.
I guess.
How old are your kids? Oh, Julia's what, 4? Robert's 2?
I don't know, but I mean, is
they're
small?
Close. Those are
4 and 2. But
close to their ages.
But still, there's a shortage in the vaccine. Is it less for a kid's shot? Or?
Yeah, they didn't really give the flu shots, Rob.
They're allocating, and pediatricians are more likely to get them.
They got a placebo.
Placebo?
A placebo. Some doctor's offices get them and some don't.
Here's what your doctor's office had to say.
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
That's and then the doctor. Children ran away terrified.
The doctor's office is made of gingerbread.
Dr. Larry
children.
King. Dr. Larry King, we have two children here, Robert's children, Rob's children, Robert and Julia. Yeah. Which would you like to give the shot to?
Oh, boy.
Oh, sure.
No. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. King.
Children.
I just called him Dr. King.
Yes.
Okay.
We honor him every year.
Are you cool with that?
Probably, yes.
Hey, very good, Larry.
Sure, why not?
Congressman Henry Waxman.
Thank you, Dr. King.
It was funny.
Thank you.
Waxman and Republican Tom Davis of Virginia, who chairs the committee, asked the FDA for those documents over 2 weeks ago. The papers include communications with the British company that normally supplies half the flu vaccine we use every year.
So what's the bottom line on this, Buzz? Is there a flu
bottom
vaccine?
Bottom line, huh?
I'm a bottom line guy.
There's flu vaccine that we didn't import this year because our government believes that it was contaminated. In fact, the factory that produces it was shut down for a while because the vaccine was allegedly contaminated.
And it was a toy factory where they were making it.
Yes. The FDA says it's...
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Nation.
I'll beat you.
Oh, that's just uncalled
that's
for.
That's not nice.
Oh, boy.
The FDA says it's diligently working to gather these documents and that it's been busy trying to find new sources for the vaccine.
I'm lying in bed. Oh, boy.
The FDA says it doesn't have time for election year politics.
I want to see it all.
Thank you, Larry.
This is pretty big. President Bush has broken with the Republican Party to say that gays should have the right to civil unions if they live in a state where that's allowed. This is the same president who, when the election wasn't 6 days away, urged Congress to pass a law that would ban gay unions.
Now, very important to note that if Buzz is reporting this,
yes,
it is true. Bush was on Good Morning America.
That's right.
Doing one of those.
Today?
Yes. Today. Doing one of those feel good things with Charles Gibson.
Uh-huh.
And the topic comes up, gay unions. He says, I'm for it.
Right.
Charles Gibson, I give him credit, said right to his face, when you were nominated at the Republican convention, one of the big items on the docket was the anti-gay union. So right. You're saying now that you're going against the very platform that got you nominated. And he looked right in the camera and said, yes. And that says to me, he's feeling the heat.
You bet he is. That's amazing. And
also
that could have a backlash in his own party.
I'd like to ask Bush this also. Uh-huh. Would that be a flip-flop?
Yeah.
Have you just flip-flopped
on
gay marriage and gay unions?
Yeah, I mean, because I remember that was a huge part of the Republican
it is the Republican platform, that and the constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
Which he supported.
There was also a thing where the president urged Congress to pass laws to ban civil unions, which he's now come out
right
in favor
here.
Of.
Look at the Republican, if you want to be Republican.
You have the platform?
Right here. Number one,
uh-huh.
God hates fags.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
It's on that platform.
It's on the Republican platform.
Did you watch the whole interview this morning? Because later on, he said he was afraid that the gay unions might actually go on strike. So that was his concern. Sorry.
Oh, you funny. I don't know what's funny. It was funny.
Yeah, I know. But
his reaction was funny.
I'm sorry.
Rod Spiewak!
In case you hadn't heard, the vice president's daughter is as gay as they come, and Mr. Cheney has long been in favor of legal rights for gays.
Well, I think they're making way too much of her.
That is an important story, though.
Yes,
I hope it is. I hope the mainstream press, because you're the hippie lunatic left.
The radical fringe.
I hope the mainstream press picks up on that it was...
I think they will.
As simple as could be, mm-hmm. You are breaking away from the Republicans who just nominated you on this very platform. Yes. That's right, Charlie.
I see no way that they can ignore this. It'll be interesting to see what the evening newscasts are doing with this, because that is, if it's everything, that Buzz says it is, which I do believe, it's huge.
Well, it is, and it was on Good Morning America today.
I trust him, because he's fair and balanced.
That's right.
Amen. Now, thank you, Ivan. I'm here all week.
Our very own Don Geronimo had the most astute observation I've heard on the subject when he said that... gays should be allowed to suffer just like the rest of us. I believe those were your words.
They were.
Well, apparently they do suffer like the rest of us. In New York, the couple that grooms the dogs of J-Lo, P. Diddy, and Janet Jackson got into an argument. And then, after 14 blissful years together, one of them stabbed the other with a pair of scissors.
Oh,
and it wasn't because the victim just wouldn't listen.
Stupid bitch.
Apparently.
Even though you're a man, I'm calling you a bitch to imply that I'm a gay man stabbing you with a knife.
How?
Apparently some of their dog grooming business money had been embezzled. Quoting the victim, it was like a scene out of Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. He just kept stabbing me. The scissors were open, so every time he stabbed me, it was like getting stabbed twice.
My scissors are open.
He kept saying, I want to kill you. Why don't you just die already?
Oh, you're killing me.
Why don't you just die already?
Oh, stop it and flip the poodle.
Hope those kids work it out.
Flip the poodle.
My scissors are open.
I know. You're stabbing me twice. Every single time you stab me, you're stabbing me twice. Ow.
This reminds me.
Yes.
Please stay tuned for Ron and Fez. Along with many of these Infinity broadcasting stations.
Good segue. I like that. It appears there will be, this is also big, I think, there will be no statue honoring Arnold Schwarzenegger in his hometown in Austria. At least not now. The plans, they were going to do it, they've been scrapped because...
This is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hi.
This scene with the enlargement of the press was fantastic.
Fantastic.
They have scrapped the Arnold statue plans because of Arnold's support of fellow Republican George W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
As with a lot of countries, Austrians not too keen on our current president, and they're taking it out on their favorite son by withholding the statue the way Maria withheld sex with Arnold when he endorsed Bush at the convention.
I love the fact that they're comparing this. First off, no matter what media you watch, Fox, CNN, whoever, we're playing the Arnold Schwarzenegger music. They all identify Bill Clinton as a rock star.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's their way of saying he's the biggest thing out there.
Right.
Bigger than politics is Bill Clinton.
I was in Philadelphia the other day. I mean, it was huge.
So now what they're saying is, as Kerry has Clinton, now Bush has Schwarzenegger.
Yes. Good luck.
Right. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, the Austrians are taking it out on their favorite son by withholding the statue. Officials say the excitement about the plan to erect a steel statue of Arnold has waned.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They say the excitement is down from what it was when he was first elected governor of California.
Why did I endorse him? Why did I endorse him? Now they're taking my statue away in my hometown. I'm so angry. My name is John Kimball.
A big like an 80-foot statue, too, is going to be
bigger than the statue of Mozart.
Huge.
And all because I made the decision. I'm such a stupid man, and I'm not getting sex. And I say, give me the sex, Maria. Please.
Here's how bad it's gotten. There have even been calls to rename the recently named Arnold Schwarzenegger football stadium there and talk of taking back the honorary award he was just given.
In German, they're going to call it Dumbass Stadium. I'm so angry.
Welcome to the Reich Bowl. Today, the Amsterdam Admirals take on the Cologne Centurions.
This should be a good match, and I'll sit up at the tower in my uniform.
Welcome to the Adolf Hitler Dome.
Nine.
Maybe you remember, we told you about the first newspaper to back John Kerry and about the president's hometown newspaper backing Kerry. Well,
Crawford, Texas?
By today's count, yeah, that's right. It's a couple of weeks since we did that story. By today's count, 36 newspapers that backed Bush last time have flip-flopped their support over to Kerry. Several of the papers are in Florida, where the president's brother's the governor, where the race is very close, and where the race is very important. The Orlando Sentinel has backed every Republican presidential candidate since Nixon. They have now broken that tradition, saying Bush has, quote, utterly failed to fulfill our expectations. The paper says it's lost some subscriptions over its endorsement and has taken some angry phone calls. Other papers endorsing Kerry include both Chicago papers, the Los Angeles Daily News.
What about the city paper?
The Cleveland Plain Dealer, yes. The Philadelphia Inquirer, the Arizona Republic, the San Diego Union-Trib, the Columbus Dispatch, the Dallas Morning News, both Washington papers, both Cincinnati papers, both Detroit papers, the Tampa Tribune, the Miami Herald, the Las Vegas Journal Review, the New Orleans Times, Picayune, the Idaho Statesman, the Bangor,
piling on,
the Bangor Daily News, and the Memphis Commercial Appeal, just to name 22.
And if it's not in a city paper, I'll stab you with scissors.
What about in the Arnger B?
The Arnger
B.
We're Nader.
Arnger here.
This is Arnger.
And about the election.
Yes.
Remember what I said yesterday? I mean it. What is it, a week from yesterday?
Yeah,
right.
Hard to believe.
We will be here next Wednesday, mm-hmm. November 3rd,
right.
Without a president.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that it's not going to be decided.
That's,
no way.
That's the prediction you're sticking with.
Yeah, oh, you bet. You bet.
I think you're possibly right, but I hope you're wrong.
There are a lot of scenarios. Now, this is a dangerous thing. When I start reading something,
yes.
I'm reading that already in Florida, they're already disputing the fact that some of the returns from the absentee ballots are not correct. And you remember the thing with the hanging Chad?
Mm-hmm.
In Ohio,
yeah,
they're going to be holding them up and looking at them because they have the very same system.
Oh, my God.
There's talk that Ohio could be this year's Florida.
And even if everything adds up okay,
mm-hmm.
it's still so close that it could end up being decided like American Idol
mm-hmm.
by Hawaii.
Wow.
Really. So, mark my words, we won't have a president in November. I mean, we'll have the same dope we have now, but we won't have either reelected him or have a new one.
It'll be undecided.
Well, yeah.
You can project some crazy scenarios. I read one today where the Electoral College might come out as a tie.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? God.
That's a possibility.
Right.
I read one where Maine, because Maine allocates their electoral votes differently, it's not winner take all,
right.
that it might come down to Maine and actual delegates that do that.
Right, Ed. And if it does come down to a tie,
mm-hmm.
then it goes to the House of Representatives,
yes,
or
right.
some deal like that, and
yes.
that's where the representatives from the states decide, and...
yeah, it gets crazy after
you
that.
You know, it's not going to be resolved next Tuesday night.
It's important for everybody to vote, and I know it sounds jive to say that, but everybody has to get out there and vote.
Well, some people are trying, Mike. Nearly 60,000 absentee ballots, however, have vanished in Florida. The absentee ballots are absent. In one county alone, Leon County.
What did I tell you? Why you shake your head like
because
that?
Because it makes me... I'm so angry.
We had 4 years to fix this.
It's just astonishing.
Hey, what happened?
That they're letting these people, you know, these incompetent people run these elections.
And by the way, there's a shortage of election workers, so I urge people to volunteer. But on the other hand, part of the problem is some of the people who are volunteering are not really that qualified.
Well, yeah, and most of the people that volunteer
right.
are blowing spit bubbles. That's the problem.
So we urge competent people to volunteer.
Make it like jury duty.
The supervisor of elections...
You know, somebody asked me
Somebody who works here.
I can't believe, no, it couldn't have been anybody here because it was a really like a serious conversation.
Huh?
Oh, I know who it was. It was the sales guy. The sales guy that doesn't go off.
Okay.
Who said, do you think that it should be law that everybody votes? And I said, you have a lot of dumb asses voting.
Yeah.
And he said, well, wouldn't it be better than if you had the apathy that you have now where people can vote or they can't vote?
Not a lot of apathy this year.
Yeah, but still, there's more people who don't vote than do vote.
Maybe not this year.
I've always believed voting is a right. Yeah. And if it's a right, then you can't force people to do it.
Right.
I don't know. It's like the seatbelt thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, think how many, we make people put the seatbelt on.
I don't think we can force...
Not everybody does.
I don't think we can force people to vote, but give them a little lanyap. Isn't that what you call that?
Right. A little something extra.
Give them a little something for it. When you get your driver's license, you say, hey, and if you register to vote and you vote, you'll get a little,
You can go 75 and we'll let you go one time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get a free, get out of jail free.
That'd be great.
Hold on. Buzz, you're going to remember this as a quick walk down memory lane.
Oh, good.
You remember when Dennis Murphy used to call all the time during your news?
I loved that.
Yeah, I know. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, for the interruption.
That's quite all right, Dennis. What's up?
No, but I'm going to be working the polls on Tuesday.
I feel better.
Are you serious?
I'm going to be the provisional judge. I'm going to be the judge who will, if you're not registered, I'm going to pick the ballot.
Are you ready now to concede that the election will not be decided on Tuesday night?
Man,
Enjoy your four more years, W.
As public accountants go, Dennis is certified.
I am almost certified, but...
Not quite certified.
Almost, but he will be working the polls.
Yeah.
Certifiable.
That's good news, Dennis.
Yeah, go with it, Mike. It will be legitimate and honest and fair.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, it'll be legitimate.
All right, bye, Dennis.
Have fun at the election.
Bye, Dennis.
Okay, thanks for fun.
A timely call, Dennis. Thank you.
Bye, Dennis.
Thank you, Buzz.
Yes?
Please continue.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
Bye.
And there's election official Dennis Murphy.
He's going to be working the polls.
Jesus. And we will continue after the break to tell you about those 58,000 missing absentee ballots.
Oh, no. They were in my car.
My ballot is soggy.
Okay, W.
Imagine that.
Strangely damp.
I'm Peter Jennings. 5 days since the election. We talked to this pollster.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Yeah, we're in good hand.
Selling his underpants at the McDonald's from Main and Park Street in Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay, Don, please vote.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. They love wigs and the women who wear them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I forgot we had that one. You know,
I'm going to have the Frida on the show tomorrow for a segment, so I'll ask her about it then. But
the wig is now just sitting.
On a head?
No, it's not on a plastic head, but it's sitting like on top of a lamp or something, on top of a lamp with a lampshade that doesn't get turned on.
Is it scary?
Yeah.
Do you ever think it's a human being, like when you come around the corner?
Oh, no, it's just creepy. My wife's got a wig. Hi, Buzz.
That's scary.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Scared kids?
As I was telling you when Dennis called, about 60,000 absentee ballots in Florida have come up absent in one county alone, Leon County. The supervisor of elections office has heard complaints from hundreds
of
people.
Leon County? Yeah. I used to know that cat.
He was a DJ, right?
Hello there, Don.
I want to find my votes.
This is Leon Country.
Hundreds of people still haven't received their absentee ballots just in that county. And the election office says it's been so swamped with calls, many of the callers aren't even getting through.
You're in my county now.
Leon County.
You're in my county now.
Hello. Welcome to Leon County.
It's Leon County.
And I guess I'm thinking brother with Leon because of those commercials that are on during the baseball all the time with, Joe Buck, who is funny.
Yeah, but don't interview the guy live during a game again, okay?
Okay, thank you. I love Fox, and I love just about everything they do.
Right.
I love the way they do football and NASCAR. But I told Mike this off the air.
What?
The baseball, it's too much. And maybe even send it on the air.
The graphics?
Too much garbage, too much interviewing, that guy in the stand.
And you know what? And not enough of the basics of, like, if the guy fouls it over on the third base line,
yes.
Show the camera shot of third base instead of the old lady knitting with the St. Louis Cardinal on her face.
And when we're watching someone at home play taking practice swings, do we need video of them taking practice swings in front of them?
No.
I know we're being redundant. I know we've mentioned this before. I know I've mentioned this before, but it'll be my last chance because the Red Sox will win tonight. Right. It won't be baseball
You're
for
right.
6 months. Fox, I don't need in the right-hand corner real big. Right now.
No, not necessary.
Batting, pitching. I know it's Schilling. I know it's Pedro. I know it's whatever Cardinal it is up at bat.
Too busy. It's too busy and it takes you away from the game. And if you're watching the game with any kind of attention, you don't need that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, the game moves well enough on its own.
And Tim McCarver. That's the only other thing I wanted to say.
And really,
Tim McCarver.
That's been a long-standing, I agree with you.
But Tim McCarver on both
just
sides.
Just in general.
Both sides, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, Cardinal fans.
Just a jerk.
Tim McCarver.
But here's what would really help baseball. Now, right. It's been 10 years since the strike.
Right, right.
Because of your Red Sox, it's the closest I've gotten to at least admitting I like baseball again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be nutty to have like a 30-second clock in between pitches.
Not a bad idea at all.
Because the thing I've noticed is the goddamn hitters stepping out of the box.
Not a bad idea.
Put their gloves back on. The goddamn pitchers who got to take their hat off, got to look at the ball, got to step off the mound, got to put some resin in. You know, 30 seconds. Throw the ball, catch the ball.
Tremendous innovation. It would shave at least a half an hour off every game.
Shave.
I like that.
I'd like to see that.
And then you know what? If the pitcher doesn't throw it,
right, then it's a strike.
A ball.
Right,
if the batter's out of the, but I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, right. If the batter doesn't do it fast enough, then it's a strike. If the pitcher doesn't, it's a ball.
And, it wouldn't be even questioned. You'd probably have them just do it automatically.
And it would be like football. There'd be the clock right behind the pitcher's mound, and there'd be clocks out in the outfield so that the pitcher and the hitter could both see the 30-second clock.
That is the single thing that slows baseball down more than anything else. It's the time that it takes to get the ball to the plate. It's ridiculous.
Because I understand that you're going to have, like, a pitcher switch. Okay. You want to leave the guy out there a little while. You're going to stretch it out to let the other guy get warmed up. Mm-hmm. You're going to bring him in. Okay, I get that.
That's different. You're making a pitching change.
Agreed.
You're going out. You got a pitching coach talking to the guy.
You're making a strategic move.
Absolutely.
But if I got to see one more guy, and your guys are as guilty as the other ones, of a guy getting up there, and before he even takes the swing, he's in the box, he's making a stance, steps out of the box for a second to redo the Velcro on his gloves and to pull the sleeves up in his shirt.
Right.
And then to lick his fingers and then, please, 30 seconds.
But that doesn't even take as much time as it does when the pitcher's looking in, and just sitting there waiting. I think even you'd even make it 20 seconds. Seriously.
Wow, you really are in a good mood today.
10 seconds. Wouldn't that be funny? 5 seconds. Here's the ball. Throw it! It's an all-new baseball game.
Now I'm watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now I'm watching.
No, I mean, I've been at enough baseball games, and I love, how much I love the game. I've been at a lot of games where they're sitting there, and it's just like on and on.
I love the five-second rule. Like, as soon as the pitcher gets his back in his hand,
right.
He's got to burn it into the catcher immediately.
And the batter just has to stay in the box.
Right. He can't move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, is that great.
And then we paralyze him.
Yay!
In sports, Bill...
Christopher Reeve.
That's great. Wouldn't that be great?
Bill Buckner isn't exactly rooting for the Red Sox, but he's hoping his own personal hell will end. Well, Buckner says he's gone weary of hearing the insults and dodging the flying produce.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
Billy Buck, don't give a darn.
It's why he moved from Boston to Boise 11 years ago. Quoting Bill, I have no strong feelings one way or another, but if a win would mean no one would bother me or my kids, I guess I'd like to see them win it. Finally.
I do feel sorry. Bill Buckner got into a fight with a fan, I think, when he was in Pawtucket in the minor league system, when a father was standing there and his son handed the autograph book to Bill Buckner and said, better hand it to him carefully or it'll go between his legs.
Wow. That's
yeah.
Cold.
Yeah, that's cold.
That's
cold.
That.
He's lived with that for... yeah.
Billy Buck, don't give a darn.
What a shame he's had to deal with that.
Yeah. Finally, the newspaper in Tullahoma, Alabama, got an angry letter to the editor. The letter came from an older gentleman upset about what he believes is a commercial he saw on television. Quoting the letter, to me, it's discrimination of older drivers and putting us in the category of drunk drivers. He calls it, quote, the most outrageous, stupid thing I ever heard. It's an insult to seniors who drive, and I'm ticked off about it, end quote.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
According to the letter writer, the ad begins with the words, friends, don't let friends drive old. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Hey, what's wrong with that?
I'm the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
That made some good sense, though, bud. All right, everybody. Mike, let's go. Red Sox.
Go Sox.
Everybody. We'll meet again at this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
Please stay tuned for Ron Fez coming up next on the Infinity Broadcasting Network. That's it. Good day to you, sir.
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 Let's go Sox. And you?
Tomorrow we'll have more jokes.
More jokes.
Yeah. Butter your donuts.
Sure. Why should it not work today? There you go.
Be kind. Be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. Let me leave you swinging.
The Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Chick Hernandez here. Join me for Redskins post-game live.
You going to stay all night tonight?
Not tonight.
We've got all the Redskins news
you can use, and it's on Comcast Sportsnet.
Thanks, Chick. Ron and Fez are next.